So if you ever start taking things too seriously, just remember that we're talking monkeys on an organic spaceship flying through the universe. Quote Joe Rogan. That's some real shit. I'm just saying. Got to put that out there. I see you over there. Organic.
Lady.
Oh, what's up?
No, I'm just enjoying that quote. My bad.
Ladies and gentlemen and everyone in between, welcome to the IBHM podcast. I am your host, Arizona Burst. With me, my dude and co-host, Soul Papo.
What's that?
I'm Black. He's Mexican. And now that that is out of the way, welcome to the show. This is a podcast about nothing in particular. We got a lot of shit to talk, but before any and all of that, if you want to chime in, our email is ibhmpodcast@gmail.com. You can find us. Oh, I got an echo on the back.
Oh, does that mean the show stops? Just talk over it.
We kill that shit. My bad, yo. Yeah, so once again, you can find us on Stitcher, iTunes, and Podomatic. Just search I'm Black, He's Mexican. Find us on all of your social media outlets, including Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, and YouTube, simply at IBHM Podcast, an appropriate spot. If you want to do any of that, head over to the website, IBHMPodcast.com. You can find all of our social media links there. Now, if you want to hit me up, my main source of social media fuckery is Tumblr. You can find me at adifferentstateofblack.tumblr.com. If you want to holler at Soul Papo, his main source of social media fuckery is...
You can find me on the Tumblr, the soulpapo.tumblr.com. Simple as that.
Yes, sir. And we're joined by special guest, motherfucking Trav Lord, from the PW Tours East Coast cast, heard every Wednesday on Log Talk Radio, and his main source of social media fuckery is...
The big three, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram.
You pick one, Madison. Pick one.
Well, it doesn't matter, because it's Trav Lord at all of them. So just put Trav Lord in the appropriate space, and you'll be able to find me on most major social media platform.
Yeah, so
there you go.
A lot of social media fuckery, you can't find us all. Real quick.
You can't find me, it's not no Google.
Google me, bitch.
No, listen, we are the East Coast Cast. If you search East Coast Cast on Google, we are on the first page now. We are 9 of the top first 10. Searches when a year or so ago we were like on second, third page. So,
and it's actually dope because I noticed on Google now if you type in IBHM, because there's some other big fucking IBHM, but now IBHM brings up the podcast. I'm Black, He's Mexican, because it still keeps bringing up a bunch of interracial relationships. So,
hey,
couple real quick shout outs before we get the show started. We got a couple new Facebook likes. So shout out to Enzo Armani, and you can find him on IG at Herbal Dazed. He runs a medical marijuana place, I think, out in Denver, Colorado. So shout out to that brother for trying
I got an ad on that. I was wondering what that was about. I just figured because I might have liked a stoner page or some shit.
I'm a stoner. And shouts out to Lady Row 46 or 46. She's been following the podcast on Twitter for a while, and she just joined Facebook, liked the page. And then two more real quick special shout outs. Shout out to Joe Cut Creative, which is a film company out of New York. I talked about it before on the show that I do tech support over the phone, so on and so forth. And I helped Greta Reed from this company with some stuff. We were on the phone for like 2 hours working on some things, and I was checking out their website while I was on there, and they did a lot of different film trailers for like We Steal Your Secrets, a Julian Assange film, and a whole bunch of other different just videos, and Human Centipede 2 or some shit like that or whatever. But yeah, they deep in the game and they're doing the damn thing, so show them some love. Once again, Jump Cut Creative. And then lastly, shouts out to J-Flow Entertainment, who is a local Arizona short film producer. He does comedy films and shit on YouTube, and you might be catching your boy Arizona Verse and Soul Papo in a short little flick coming up. So
wait on the script, though.
Yeah, once we get that script, we're going to go ahead and make this film debut and put it on these bitches, you know? That's how we do it. So, yes, sir. Anybody else got shout-outs?
Trev.
Shout out to all the Linos out there, East Coast Cats fans. You know, especially the ones that was down in New Orleans with us. We had a blast. That was just some of the best times I had was with those guys.
Yo, and WrestleMania is in San Francisco next year.
Yeah, Santa Clara, somewhere right outside of San Fran.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to save some money. I gotta get up with y'all niggas. Y'all be having too much motherfucking fun. And so far, all the WrestleMania's been on the East Coast. The niggas a little too broke to catch up over on that side.
Right.
But
yeah, now it's in San Francisco. Let's have us a gay old time. Do it.
New Orleans was a long shot, I thought. Now I don't know about San Fran. That's a hell of a trip.
I know that's coast to coast. So
you know. We drove to New Orleans, you know. I spent an entire work week, you know, coming and going in a car with five other dudes. You know, that wasn't, the most pleasant. I mean, it was fun, you know, but, sitting in a big minivan for 20 hours, 22 hours, you know, straight. It was tough. So, you know, West Coast, we'd have to fly and it just gets expensive.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know about that.
Well, if I can see, because we're still, and I was putting a pop-up up on it, we're chopping it up about the whole ayahuasca trip next year, because me and Popo, before the show, and that's the reason why we're starting late, I mean, we start late every fucking week, but the excuse this week, the reason why we're starting late is we checked out an isolation tank up the street from my place, and I thought it was fantastic. I've never been so fucking relaxed. For anyone who doesn't know what isolation tank is, basically, it's like a big
spaceship pod.
Yeah, it looks like a fucking spaceship, and it's 10 inches of water across this whole entire thing, and it has like 1,200 pounds of Epsom salt in it, and you close the top of it, and there's no light, there's no sound, there's no nothing. It's just you floating in water, and it's the same temperature as your skin, and you're just fucking floating in the abyss. It's just you and your thoughts, and you get to unplug from the matrix for a quick little hour, and I'm sold on this shit, man. I gave my credit card number. I will be there every month. I signed up for the little monthly membership. And I'm gonna pop the Xanax and a couple Alpha Reds next time. I'm going in the rabbit hole. That's what I'm doing.
Wait a second. Didn't we, on the last episode, we were talking about getting off that bullshit?
Right? I'm conflicted. I learned
a lot about you in that episode. Like, man, he's got a lot of shit going on in his head.
It is.
Oh, he's seeing and tasting colors. He's got a
prescription this that goes down to that.
That he can, you know, delve into at any time. Like, sheesh, get this man a joint.
Yo,
supposedly he's gonna do that.
It is funny because going back, like, because I'd say I'm very honest about my life and experiences, and I smoked weed for like a good like 10 years straight. Like I was a stoner. But my problem is I don't know how to do anything in moderation. Every time I do something, I take it to the next fucking level.
Knowing that about yourself, you wanna take some pharmaceutical shit. That's like, well, if I go over the edge with this, I can lose my kidneys or whatever. The fuck. It's not like, oh, I won't get shit done or I won't.
Yeah.
I forgot. Like ramifications. Like you gotta, you know, not saying you don't fucking know this, but
yeah.
But then again, how honestly can you portion? You know what I'm saying? Weed. Like, okay, I'm going to keep it to a bowl. I mean, no. How can you stop? But then again, I guess that would make sense.
But again, it doesn't, in the grand scheme of things, it's like, Well, I don't know. I just don't see anything like do as much as you need. Whatever that is.
That is the thing.
There's nothing. There are no real side effects that are that you don't know how to deal with.
Exactly. Exactly. Know. There's no side effect with smoking marijuana that's going to lead to you being in a fucking coffin. And that's the reason why.
You didn't even have to go that far. Like I said, your kidneys or your health, just your insides, and you know what it can do to you there. And just you know, if you know that you can't do things in moderation, well, if say you start smoking pot heavily again, you can look up 6 months later, and be like, man, I've been really kind of out of control, and I need to step away from this. You'll be able to step the fuck away from it. Step away from some other shit. You know, you're going to be on your, fiending tip. Could be.
And you hit the area.
I'm with that, like, with cigarettes. Speaking of which.
I mean, they tell you, do not stop taking this. Like, let us
That's you hit the nail in the coffin, because I can't remember if I brought it up on the show, but me and Richard were talking about that on the way up here when I moved to the new place, my phone cracked, and so I couldn't, I got the little note reminder in my phone saying that, hey, you gotta take a pill at 9 o'clock, and
how'd you miss a whole week though? 5 days? Moving kids,
I think Papa gonna go drop one real quick. So. Shit is like crazy because you know work and driving and all that crazy shit and all that, and just like the fucking muscle memory thing is it was just off. And so I went an entire fucking week without taking that damn medication. And so I'm at work and I'm drinking like 2 fucking Red Bulls and I got like a 5 hour energy. I'm just exhausted. It's just chemically I'm off and I'm pissed off at everybody and you know. Talking to angry customers, and I'm getting angry, and I'm talking to happy customers, and I'm upset that they're happy, and I'm just like, what the fuck is going on? And so finally, I was like, yo, I don't think I took that medicine this entire week. And so I popped the medication, I think I slept for like 13 hours, woke up, I was back balanced, and I was like, yo, I gotta get the fuck off this shit. I don't want anything where if I forget to take it, it's gonna make me feel like that. So I'm trying to get my car.
Look, I understand as far as like pharmaceutical go, especially the ones that alter moods and or are antipsychotics. I get there is a need and a real like benefit to society, to people's personal the way their quality of life, the quality of the other motherfuckers around them. You know, I get that some people, but you know like. All right, you were angry and like irritable and you, whatever. But you didn't fucking lose your mind, you know. You the Skips was she like, you know, she might have been like, you were a fucking asshole this week, but she weren't like.
You can tell something was up.
My kids, you know. Get away from this mama, you know. So there's a difference, you know. It doesn't seem like someone at your level of what you need as far as, you know. Medication or just mood alter, you know, wouldn't, you know, without it, you're not a, you know, you could be able to
society.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think it's terribly necessary. But that's my far away opinion, non-clinical bullshit artist opinion. So.
And like I said, even it took a while for me to even go that route to like, yo, I gotta take some medication for some shit, because I can always tell I was chemically off. I love my mom, but my mom is one of those prescription zombies, if you will. Like, they've always been pumping her with medication the entire and so, so my mom's always been chemically off, and so I was like, I know I need something to balance the chemicals off, if you will. And so I finally hit 30. I'm at the doctor. I'm like, yo, doc, something's up. I was like, we need to look into something. I really don't want to get into something where it's taking medication every single day. But I was like, I can tell something is a little off. But once
you get out of there without taking something every day, I mean, that's kind of the whole gimmick.
Yeah. And see, and that's the thing with now go into what we did earlier today with the isolation tank. That I signed up for a monthly membership, so I'm gonna go every single month, just unplugging from society, just being apart from the fucking light pollution and the air pollution and just all this shit going on. Just that 1 hour, I feel fucking fantastic now. And so, just trying to find some alternative and better ways to deal with the day-to-day grind of existing.
No, totally accurate.
Yeah. And so, Papo, how was your experience in the ISO takes?
At first, I was kind of freaked out. I was wondering, I'm like, is there cameras in here? Can I go in this bitch bare ass? Do I need to wear drawers? And so, once I kind of went through the whole
thing. What the fuck?
What?
You didn't bring swim trunks or ball shorts?
No. Yo, I'm not even going front, yo, because, you know, you're in the room and it's, you're by yourself. And so, I closed the door and I looked around. I'm like, well, I'm here by myself. Bare ass naked. I hopped in that motherfucker. I wanted to be one with nature. I was one with nature.
Yo, well, that was my biggest thing. I didn't know how I was going to tackle that bitch. But once I hosed myself down, I was like, I might as well wear these drawers. I went Speedo in it, if that gives you a pretty picture. I guess the biggest thing was just kind of getting in there, because I figured I heard so many terrible stories of white people hurting themselves in the tub. I didn't want that shit to happen to me. So I kind of I fell in there, and I mean, honestly, as you can see, I'm a hefty motherfucker, so they're floating right away. And I just took a second, because they gave me a little introduction video on what to do. You got to count for so many seconds, count your breaths. So I was just like, I was kind of getting bored of that shit. I'm like, okay, well, fuck, am I there yet? Can I skip a couple steps? You know, does that fuck up the experience? I was just arguing myself the whole goddamn time for about an hour until the lights kicked back in and it was time to leave. Like, this tells me more about myself.
So you didn't even like relax and then like kind of get into it and enjoy it a little bit?
I don't know. I definitely did. And if anything, I was like, man, I wonder what would happen if I would have given this motherfucker high. I wonder if I would have amplified the experience. I wonder if I would have yelled at myself. Because I was already, you know, kind of contemplating jumping around from thing to thing. But no, man, it was. It really was relaxing. But did a little stretching and I realized, like, oh, fuck, this hurts. I feel this. I feel that. So,
and
man,
that was one of the things they said, like, in the little introduction video. It's like, as you're floating in there, you'll start feeling, like, aches and pains because it's your chronic injuries and your brain has nothing else to focus on. Because there's no visuals, there's no sound, there's no nothing. And even, like, the water is the same temperature as your body. So even after being in there for so long, you can't feel the water anymore. So you're just floating in the abyss. And I was telling Papa, I tore my rotator cuff, like, 3 years ago. And I went through, like, a year of rehab and all that. Now I'm good enough where I can go through day-to-day experiences and not really run into any issues. The first fucking 25 minutes of that motherfucking, that shoulder was burning. I'm like, oh, I can tell this shit's still jacked up. I'm still having those issues. But it was just insane, and that's the reason why I signed up for the monthly membership, because after you do it so many times, it's just like meditation, you know, you can't just meditate once and start floating off the fucking floor and see Buddha and shit. You gotta, you know, work your way to that point. And so that first experience today, I want to say the first like 35 minutes was just me trying to adjust to being in there, you know, floating and shit. But the last 20 minutes, like, I could start feeling something. Like, your eyes are trying to focus on something. You see the shadows and all that. You can't tell, like, what direction you're in. I kept feeling, like, both senses. Like, it felt like I was up against the wall. I would move my arm. I wasn't touching anything. It was just, yeah, your senses just trying to make sense of the reality that you're in. And once I was done, I got out there, motherfucker. I kind of stood up. I just kind of had to, like, look at my hands and, like, this is this reality? Like, where am I at? Like, it was crazy, yo, but I fucked with that funny shit.
Do you think would you have technically been allowed to go another hour if you wanted to, or is there like a cutoff that they say?
I think the cutoff is an hour. Looking around, I think it's just an hour.
Well, because I heard somebody say.
But is that something that they recommend? Like, yo, don't do 2 and 3 hours in there, you know. Or is that just
recommend an hour? I think that's the recommendation.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because the guy that was waiting, this company that was waiting ahead of us, apparently he's getting an extra half hour. I'm not too sure if that fucks the rates. So, I mean, I don't know how that goes, but I wonder if all of us can sleep in there. Like, if I have my own little isolation chamber, can I sleep in that bitch? Do I just gotta worry about it being pruny? Like, I don't know if it's safe
regulation. If you have the thing on a little warning before you, when you first initially sign up, you gotta sign off the waivers, and one of them was like, realize that you're floating in water in the dark, so you can drown. Like, that was one of the things you had to check off. Like, you're aware you can drown, so be aware of what the fuck you're doing. So, but that shit was ill. I recommend that to anybody. The name of the place was True Rest. And I don't know if they're affiliated with Spirit Science, that's on Facebook and on YouTube, but they had those same little cartoon characters all over it. So
I saw the logo, and it looked familiar, and I think it's a little different, but it's totally a take. Like if the Spirit Science people wanted to make it, like if they're not together, the Spirit Science what had like a lock D on that logo or that copyright, they could make some trouble. Like, hey, this is a little too similar to ours. But yeah, now that you say it, yeah, totally.
Yeah, and that's what led me to them, because I've been fucking with the Spirit of Science for like a year or two now on YouTube, and when I was looking up isolation saying that place popped up over to the website, I saw that logo, and I took that synchronicity. The universe was like, yo, that's the spot, yo. There you go.
Yeah. Right.
One thing for sure, the one little, I could tell I was relaxed, was because once that shit was done with, like, I didn't want to get out the bitch. And then even when I tried to, like, that's where I felt a little slip, and I was like, oh, big man down. Like, how the fuck do I get out of this motherfucker? It was cool. It was something different. I never done that before. I felt kind of fancy.
Yeah. And see, and the thing, and this goes back to the next little thing, the whole subconscious impact on our behavior. And I talk, I think we all talk about this, but it's the whole how the subconscious dictates like the majority of your day-to-day decisions and the things that you do. I use an example of like growing up, I've always had an issue with dogs. I've never liked dogs, and I never kind of knew why. I always got like a little nervous when dogs were by my faces, and I always just try to stay the fuck away from dogs. And then like a few years ago, I found out that when I was like 4 or 5, I was with my mom at some event, and somebody had like a Rottweiler. It kind of got off the leash, and the thing was like charging at me, and the guy caught it like right before he got to my face, and he was barking at my face and shit, and so like it scared the shit out of me. Now that was a memory that as I got older I blocked that shit, and it wasn't in my conscious mind, but it affected my day-to-day life. And so it's something that was back in the back of my subconscious. And so the subconscious dictates a lot of your fears and your strengths and your weaknesses and all that. There's just shit that's deep down in there that you need some like psychedelics or like fucking isolation tanks or meditation. You need to go head to head and face what's going on in your subconscious, because that shit is affecting your day-to-day life. So just putting that out there.
Did that come up then while you were chilling?
No, I knew about that. That was a conversation I had with my mom a while ago. Because once I got into the actual isolation tank, I only experienced the last 15 minutes of it that I really get to experience it.
Which I feel bad, because like, how the fuck did you not float? Like, was you squirming?
No, it was just, I was uncomfortable. And it was just trying to get comfortable, and then the burning of the fucking rotator cuff, and it just, I couldn't get comfortable. And then once I got comfortable, I hit that fucking level was in, and then I started kind of seeing shit and feeling shit, and I was like, oh, I'm here. And then the music started playing, and it was all shit. Yeah. It's almost done.
Okay. I'm going to be real with you, just so we can end it on this. Part of me wanted to fucking beat my meat in the shower once I was done, but I was like, I know we're on the time limit, and I was like,
that was worried about fucking cameras being inside of a dick.
I'm thinking, fucking I'm already goddamn naked, like I might as well just go and handle myself.
Lacking his meat in the damn shack. Wait, I'm assuming this was in the place, I assume.
Oh, no, we're not in there, because mind you, I didn't want to get salt particles all over my cack. But I mean, in the actual, like, where you rinse yourself off, and I figured, oh, it's full of knife, they have the little lotions. I figured, oh, I think it's intended for us to fucking beat off and have a cigarette.
That's unfair. That thought would have probably crossed my mind, too.
But another thing, too, the reason why I did it,
the sole reason why I did it, because I could have been, I wanted to, and I was about to. But before going in that bitch, they made us sign a waiver that any sort of bodily fluids can lead to a $500 charge. Now, they warn you beforehand, too, that in this whole process, you lose your motor skills and that you pretty much might shit yourself. Now, right. Dude, it's going to cost $500. And I'm like, oh, goddamn. I'm like, no, thank you.
And that's why I took a shit before I hopped in there. Real quick.
That's probably also to deter people from peeing in there, you know.
Yeah, I would hope so. Cause I figured, how could they see it? But then again, I mean,
they watch it.
Remember that? Did y'all watch Beavis and Butthead?
Yeah.
Remember the episode where Beavis fell into the shark tank at SeaWorld or something, and he peed in the shark tank. And alarms went off. Get the sharks into, safety, contaminated water.
That's funny. I don't remember that one. But yeah, that's the way the fuck it is. I'm pretty sure they go in there with a black light and, like, make sure ain't no cheese anywhere around
like,
that motherfucker.
Like, I knew this motherfucker was in trouble. I saw him come in with a corner trap. I knew he was going to it. I knew it.
We was the only motherfucking minorities that walked up in there. She looked like an eye on
her. Yeah, and I was hoping to, she wanted to suck us off in the restroom or something, but nah, it was just more out of concern, like.
Little happy ending?
I was hoping. Yeah. I was hoping for the knock. I was hoping that she was going to kind of slip in there and be like, I saw you saying me and I wanted to come and tell you the feelings of, whatever. Nothing happened. Sad story. No happy end.
So, yes, sir. So, just the whole psychedelics and fucking just meditation and all that shit. It helps bring your subconscious fucking reality to your conscious view and, makes you enjoy life a little better. Because I know I'm at motherfucking peace. I ain't ever been so goddamn relaxed. But I know I'm going to fuck it up in a minute as I start sparking this hookah. I got some Jose Cuervo over here that's calling me. So I know I'm going to go right back into this motherfucking reality of what we call America.
Hopefully your body rejects it. Like, get this shit out of here.
nigga, stop it. And that's the reason why I almost forgot. And that's the reason why we're talking about the whole shit with ayahuasca. Because, like, Poppy, you brought it up about ayahuasca. Y'all kind of had a little quick
conversation. Real quick. And what about it? Are you going to read it? She's trying to get us in the little pod thing, and Arizona Versus using the restroom. So I guess she's kind of just kind of an awkward silence thing. Like, what brings you fellas over here? I'm like, what bitch are willing to fucking do this shit? But I mentioned the ayahuasca thing, and she just brings up about how, I guess, in Peru or something like that, about how they go into this purge. And I don't know what the hell she was talking about, because when I hear purge, I'm of course I even think fucking vomiting or massive killing. And I don't know what the fuck she was talking about, because I figure, okay, this brings out your demons. And then Arizona Verse comes along, and okay, then she walks away, kind of like, leaves me with a goddamn cliffhanger.
She hits you with a motherfucking Easter egg, so you got to dig deeper into the story to get the rest of it. That's what it was, man.
Yeah, I'm like, well, thank you for fucking my mind. I'm about to go do some meditation and think about it. Thanks a lot, fucking bitch. You're white, so I love you, but damn, bitch.
Ayahuasca is some shit. I've been, studying up on that for the past 2 years, and I got really... real into psychedelics in the spring of 2012. I said, what if there's something like serious to, not like as far as the world ending, but to like 2012, yeah. December 21st. I mean, as far as like some kind of consciousness. I mean, on a scientific level, it was, we're going to be on a basic, pure scientific level, we're being like hit with cosmic rays and stuff that we haven't and been exposed to in 26,000 years. Like, what if there is something tangible to that? And I'm like, what if I haven't, like, what if I'm all, like, fucked up in the game as far as, like, my pineal glands all calcified, I'm all processed out and drinking fucking tap water and fluoride and shit, all the poison all in it. So what if I'm, what if I need to, like, break through so when the new consciousness happens, I'm like, yes, I feel it. The fucking, the DNA change, I can feel it inside.
Exactly.
Getting fixed or whatever, just like, hey, man, just on that level, like, And I was like, fucking psychedelics are a way, you know, just started getting in. And then I learned about ayahuasca. I was like, this is fucking fantastic. Like, yeah. Why is it, like, I was upset that I was just finding out about it. And I was even more upset to find out I would have to, you know, go all the way to fucking Peru when I
have to fucking come to do
it.
And in 2013, I almost didn't go back to Bosnia for a second time because I was going to go. I wanted to go to fucking Peru and spend, you know, a couple weeks there. But I can't fund that. I can't fund my fucking. It's one thing to say I'm trying to go to Bosnia and do this archaeological shit, yeah. But it's not to be like, yo, I'm trying to go and do with the shaman and trip my fucking ass off and get enlightenment. You know,
because the people on the outside are like, oh, you're just going to another country to get high? Like, what the fuck is that,
man? Motherfucker? Yeah, so that, but, and that's tough that you can't ask people. Yeah, that's like, that, but anyway, I ended up obviously going back to Bosnia, but I really considered, like, because I did save up, because it's cheaper to go to, obviously, and I'm flying over an ocean. So my second time around going to Bosnia, I saved up a lot more money than I did the first time, so I didn't have to ask people for as much, because the second time around, you know, people weren't as excited for me.
Yeah.
You know, where in 2012, they were like, oh shit, for real? Oh, do that shit. Yo, here's $25, man, straight up, and if I can give you any more in a couple weeks, you know, payday, fat. You know, second time, it was like, oh, okay. No, you're going back. All right, I'm going to see what I can do, you know. It was, you know, but that's, you know, understandable. I'm not complaining. But I was going to use the money I saved up to go to Bosnia personally, that I saved to go to Peru, but I decided not to. But that didn't stop the studying and then finding the testimonials and stuff of people, like real people. Like, there's one I got saved in my YouTube likes, this scientist from Australia, I think, went and had an experience, and he talks about it, and I was just immersed in it, and personally doing, you know, everywhere I can go, I'm, you know, what's up with some mushrooms, what's up with some Sid, what's up with some trying to, you know, even though acid is a little, you know,
chemical,
it is, and it's like anything else that's like that. You're like, who made this? What mind state were they? You're just like, let me throw a little of this, a pinch of that in it. You know. But luckily, I've gotten lucky in all my, you know, my adult time, you know, doing experimenting with stuff. But yeah, man, I was going to go on this damn retreat I found in New York. I actually, after hearing Amberline on
yes, that's what I was going to bring up.
And what really did it for me, it was the Aubrey Marcus, the first time I heard him on Rogan, probably right into spring 2012, and his it blew my mind, his 3-hour testimonial basically of his whole trip and in detail. I mean, he was just like, oh, and then okay, so a couple hours later, he like remembered, and it was like, this is something I have to experience at least once. And then hearing this year, a couple weeks ago, hearing Amber Lyon reignited that, like, look at her. She was total straight lace, kind of, you know, call it down the middle, kind of, you know, journalist, all, you know, but that journalist in her said, let me do some research. I respect this. You know, Joe Rogan, I respect this. Let me do it. And now, a year and a half later, she's, her whole perspective on the universe, in a sense, has changed. And you were trying to explain to Papo last episode, her, what she saw, what the anxiety was the stories that she had done as a journalist all those years. And she, you saw the faces of all these people she interviewed, and all that pain.
Because she's an immersive journalist.
She did a ton of investigative stories on sex slave and human trafficking, and you know, I mean, heavy topics. And like she explained to Joe, like, a lot of journalists can get the story, be immersed, do their thing, get all the facts and report it, and then move on, next story. She said, I, you know, the kind of stuff I was into when we were finding out was heavy sad stuff. I mean, and I realized, like, that stayed with me, all those people's pains, all those people's stories, stories stayed with me. And going on her medicine journey, she realized, like, oh shit, that's what's, it's literally weighing me down, bogging me down.
And it was just the one out there and had all that shit removed.
And it's almost like, man, what the fuck, what kind of trauma that's not on its surface that I can't think of, like,
exactly.
Nothing really happened, all right, I got my ass kicked a couple times when I was a kid, you know, nothing really, but, you know. I'm going to get, like, most people probably get confronted with some shit, I'm like, fuck, and it's a matter of how, they, like Aubrey said, if you try to fight it, and even she, Amber said, if you try to fight it, and she talked, she explained about the guy that was there just to see dragons and serpents and stuff, he experienced nothing, because his intentions, they were all fucked up, and,
yeah.
You know, you can't go down there trying to do, I want to see something cool. Like, no, man, this ain't, you know, it's not built like that.
Yeah.
And just, again, her story reignited my interest, and I tweeted it. Like, I said, like, I seriously think it's time to reevaluate getting South America to visit the Medicine Man. And I kept it real vague. All I did, hashtag ayahuasca, hashtag DMT. So, yeah. But that's for, you know, people, if they know what the fuck I'm talking about, they'll know.
They want to know,
And I was asked, so it's definitely in Peru, right? That's definitely where it
was. Well, Amber went to Brazil, I believe.
Okay. I think so.
Yeah, it's a few places. There's a few places.
I didn't know if that's where my Spanish translation will come into use finally. Get y'all motherfuckers to the lands.
You ain't got no, you're just another fucking gringo to them.
Yeah.
See, the two things that sold me, the one that put it over that, like, I need to get there is the Amber Lines thing. But the first thing that caught my attention that really was like, yo, it might be something to this, is there's that show on, I can't remember if it's History Channel or what channel it is, but they do that Drugs Incorporated when they talk about, like, they take marijuana. There's you do it in the back, and these are the people who do it, and these are the dealers, and they just play both sides of it. When they did the one on ayahuasca, they had nothing negative to say about it. Like, all the stories were positive. Like, this dude was a fucking heroin addict. This saved him. This woman had been molested. This helped her. Like, they couldn't find a bad spin on it. And every drug they've had on there, they've had a bad spin to it. I was like, something to it.
Yeah. I was going to ask, too. And Trav, and I really do hope that we can all, you know, finally, you know, link up and go do this. I'm wondering, because we're going to be Persian, because we're being shitting and throwing up everywhere, does that give consolation and privilege to get really fucked up the day before? What's up?
No, so like I said, I tweeted that out and it showed up on my Facebook, and a guy I know that I met through a girl that I met in Bosnia, like, me and this guy are friends because I met someone he knows, and, you know, whatever. So he was like, he sent me a private message, and was like, you know, you don't have to go to Peru, and there's places you can go to, like, in Ontario and in New York City, and blah, blah, blah. Here's this info, here's the site. I'm like, fuck, are you serious? So I got in contact with the woman, and I was going to go. I was supposed to be there yesterday and today. But I missed my window. I had a check out there that needed to clear, and I didn't want to fuck around on PayPal. So I missed it, so I gotta go next month in May.
So that's in New York, right?
In New York City, yeah. But, and they don't even tell you, like, it's like a whole big, because it's illegal here. You know, we'll send you the address when it's necessary, you know. Like, you know, this message will self-destruct. but it's real peaceful, and they're like, you know, have your intentions right. And I was just talking to her, and she seemed like a decent person. And they tell you, like, how to come prepared. They tell you for at least 3 days before, like, chill on sexual activity, chill on any kind of drugs or drinking. And I took that to include pot. You know, I'm glad I didn't have to test that out. I'd like to think that they don't.
Yeah.
You know, like, ayahuasca is going to be like, oh, weed? Like, man, weed, we cool.
Well, that nigga, we cool with weed. That's my cousin.
They, you know, like, they say it, they stay away from, like, red meat and pork and just processed food. Try to eat as fucking whole and raw as possible. You know, for the 3 days leading up to it, and drinks lots of water. And I got this fucking filter now that I bought from Australia. I had to ship it to Friday. who lives in Australia, another fan of the East Coast cast, who I've gotten close with in the last 4 years, and I sent it to her because they don't ship to out of the GMT time zone. If you don't live in Australia or Guam or somewhere, they're not going to ship shit to you. And so she sent it to me, and it's just a jug like Pure or Brita, but unlike those, it takes out 98% of the fluoride. Wow. I said, what? That's why I was like, I'm going to go through some hoops to get this thing. And I did. And just the first taste, you're like, and it's a lot. It takes a lot of other shit out, too. But I was just going to be all, I've just been flushing all week and, you know, for the last couple weeks since I got that filter. And I just, you know, been trying to, anticipating the ayahuasca, the medicines.
Ceremony. How about you seem more lively, you know what I mean? Like, you seem more active, so... I'm guessing you have a place. I mean, I don't know you too damn well, but
he's shipping them demons. That's what it is.
That's what it seems like, at least.
No, but definitely, when I do the one in May, I'll you know, people, you'll be one of the first ones to know how things.
Shoot me the motherfucking info because I'm trying to get down. I'm trying to get down.
And dog, look at the church. They got. I told you about the church they got in New Mexico where it's completely. Legal in the church setting, in the ceremony, in the religious settings. They've got they have ayahuasca ceremonies frequently at this church. It's built around it.
So now, I'm about to pull a Constantine and switch religions. That's what I'm about to do.
Yeah, I have a question too, because we were discussing this a little bit earlier about, like, can I fucking ship some of that shit over here? Because please believe, I know a whole lot of fiends that can... You know, they can use that shit, like, truly, truly.
No, you can't, because, you know, it'll be treated like cocaine or heroin and any other thing that you got shipped over.
Internationally trafficking.
Let's just talk about it being okay if it's for religious purposes. Like, what can I bullshit? What can I say? What kind of fuck?
We have to start a cult. Let's start a cult.
That's good. Let's do
it.
Start
a motherfucking cult.
You have to be like assuming because we, me and Papo, come into it single in the game. You know, Skip's gonna be like what, the communal wife? Like we have to make hard decisions and choices. You have to get real close, real quick. Maybe after an ayahuasca experience, you're gonna be like, "Hey man, what's mine?
Hey, man.
What's mine and yours? What's mine and yours, man?"
Oh man!
Shit. Oh man!
Y'all were talking about that as far as like the kids and how society, how agriculture, wasn't that y'all talking about that? How agriculture,
fucked up the family. That's where that whole set is. That's where the saying "it takes a
village."
Because
I'm not kidding, they all my kids.
Yeah, exactly. Back then they didn't have any DNA tests or anything like that, so it was a new fucking kid. Ain't no telling who the motherfucking dad is, so everybody just took care of everybody.
Damn, I didn't even think about that shit.
Sets it on Christopher Ryan that should be required freshman college reading. Everybody needs to read that motherfucking book, and there's an audio book. Shouts out to PW Torch is still running their sale with their sponsor, Audible.com. And Sex at Dawn is available on Audible.com. Sign up to PW Torch.
Oh, that's a good drop. That's a good drop.
So, speaking of drops, some kids is going to drop dead soon. By apparently, there's a new trend of kids smoking dead buds.
I swear that was a typo in your write up for the show. I'm like, okay. he missed a comma. Like, kids smoking, comma, bed bugs. Like, there's two different topics. Like, oh shit, you know, kids smoking more now? Oh, did you know there's a bed bug epidemic? Like, two separate fucking stories. Kids smoking bugs? How do you do? Why? Who can? Why? Who's the fucking jerk off who said, oh shit, oh, whatever is in this bed?
I'm about to roll this shit up.
If I free base this fucking insect, you know, and him and his buddies, what would happen? Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, the story says that in their latest effort to find a cheap high that doesn't require the purchase of any actual drugs, teens have discovered a way to smoke dead bugs. The things that normally people hate, you know, thinking about is there's little critters that play hotels and give guests nasty rashes. Kids are now smoking them. Apparently, the insects contain a hallucinogenic substance within them, except it's impossible to isolate it, so the bugs have to be caught, killed, crushed into powder, which is then either smoked or even injected.
Well, hey, let me reevaluate my scorn and ridicule for
the hallucinogenic.
It's because
be by ayahuasca.
That's ridiculous.
Right, this is a lot better than fucking huffing spray paint or gasoline. Like that, you know, like what can a fucking insect do? We're all carbon based, life form.
Yeah.
It's just another life. It's not chemicals. It's not bleach. It's not some garbage. Like,
Maybe.
Maybe.
I think I'm going.
I want to know how the what the fuck gave the goddamn idea and how the hell is it successful. I mean, shit.
I still want to know the first motherfucker that figured that shit out.
First motherfucker sitting up in a nasty ass fucking room was like, yo, what's that bad
motherfucker? I've done some desperate things. Let me tell you, like, I remember once, I think my pops had weed in a bottle. I guess he used it like as a healing oil. Apparently, it's some sort of beaner thing. I don't know. I guess so it was used as an ointment. Anyways, me and my lady friend at the time were chilling in my dad's apartment. Didn't have shit to do. Didn't have no goddamn weed. We're like, I wonder if I can take this out and dry it. I wonder if it'll work then. No, it didn't work. But actually, you do things under desperate times. So.
Desperate times calls for desperate measures.
Yes.
And actually, it's funny, it actually segues way into the next thing with fucking desperate times and desperate measures. Fucking Love and Hip Hop is doing any and every fucking thing they can to, I guess, stay relevant.
Mm-hmm.
And fucking Mimi Foss put out a sex tape where she's hanging from a shower rod and getting fucked, and she got this dude with a 10-inch dick fucking skull fucking her and all kinds of crazy wild shit. But anyway, the whole hanging of the shower rod has caused this big flurry across social media, and apparently now there's a shortage of shower rods in America as people have been buying these motherfuckers up so they can hang from a shower rod and try to get their Mimi Foss sex tape game going on.
Do it. I mean, it's just another trend. I mean, I guess if you're gonna put branding on everything. Come on, now.
Shit.
If I ever could be in the sex trade, please believe this would be a product placement out the ass, and I'm gonna try to fucking capitalize off of everything. Fucking as I'm fucking drinking out of a Gatorade with the label out.
Remember the selfie Olympics 2-3 months ago,
which was phenomenal for the moment.
It was tremendous. It was like a week of just gym after gym after gym, but the main thing was hanging off a door. That was like that's how it started. And it's just like another kind of corny version of that. Like, you know, I don't know who this woman is. I don't watch that show. That's how I find out everything. Pablo touched on that a little bit last week. As far as I don't know what hip hop songs are out until I hear somebody make a Vine video with it in the background. Yeah. Then I hit Cam up like, yo, what, check out this profile. Who, what is this? And he'll be like it was one song. I was like, what is that? He was like, oh, Emmett Smith by Migos or something. And I hate and love that song all at the same time. It's like the most.
That shit.
Emmett Smith is garbage. But I get
That's so ridiculous. That shit would be a turnip song.
You know, part of the hook. I just touched down on a pussy nigga. it's awful, but that fucking bass drop is ridiculous. I mean, it's just formula garbageness. You know, y'all more familiar than I am.
If I had more skill in making beats, That would be it. Because honestly, you have no idea. I have hooks for days. I'ma take a shit. I'ma take a shit. Like,
look, turn it up, nigga. You got it. Like,
let me be for real. When I do or say or hear some regular shit, all of a sudden I can turn it into a fucking, you know, the fucking self-checkout of like, please swipe your debit card. Please swipe your debit card. Yeah, for the next half hour, I'm singing shit about some ratchet shit about swipe your debit card or whatever. Right? So,
yo, yeah. I don't know if this to be listenable or if you can hear it on my microphone. I'm gonna try to pull it up here. This is on Vine, yeah. Fucking hilarious. Let me see.
Save the player.
Oh, I gotta take it off of me. Shit.
Shit.
Shit, technical difficulties, yo. Alright. Have you heard of the cartoon called Caillou?
Caillou, yeah.
Come on, man. Caillou!
Yeah. I'm gonna take a little play.
Caillou. Her pussy ball like Caillou. Sweat,
sweat
like Caillou.
I'm
Caillou.
Her pussy ball like Caillou. What I thought was so dope is just the beat, because like, I'm Caillou, and he fucking flips the beat like a good sampler.
Caillou. I'm Caillou.
Like, that's the new thing song right there. That's ridiculous. Fucking ridiculous. I can't call it. That's the reality of the world that we live in now.
Oh,
that's it.
Trav, you might like this. You might like this. Well, hopefully, I mean, anybody out there who enjoys ass and I like this, if like, oh, we can see it.
We bring it up a little. There you go.
Alright.
No. It's called when music and videos don't match.
Oh, that is the new shit that they've been doing. I've been seeing all them shit.
Can you name that singer?
Is it on EHM Vine?
Yeah, it's on my likes, I think. I didn't want to revine it because I didn't want to give glory to a luscious chocolate queen. But it got a like.
No, ain't that a white girl?
No, it's a white bitch singing. That's Lana Del Rey.
I thought that was a white bitch and twerking.
Oh, well, it just looks nice and white because they glare. But
oh, fucking crazy.
But yeah, I just thought that was ridiculous. I'm like, because well, honestly, when I listen to Lana Del Rey, I mean, I want to see ass shaking, but normally it's fucking teardrops of blood while I'm fucking slicing my wrist.
And so, I just downloaded her discography. I'm trying to step my music game up. I got Lena Del Rey? I got her discography and Rage Against the Machine. I'm just downloading. Google's all on me since I got that Google Play. It's like, this thing ain't paying for nothing.
What's up? You said you got some rage? Is that what you said?
Yeah, because I ain't ever fucked with them. And I downloaded their entire discography. And I was
my favorite fucking band man of all time.
Is it?
Yep.
Rage?
And I've been smiling. Yeah.
Okay. I found it when I was like 16, like 96. Their second album came out, and it was their most hit.
Cool the radio.
And Bulls on Parade. It's like my favorite song ever. You know, yeah, Rage Against the Machine. And then when my social consciousness caught up with the fact that I just like the music and they kicked ass. Like, oh my god, they're fucking
like,
talking and
saying something.
Holy shit!
And I think that's what's so dope about like true like punk music. Like it's not just fucking a bunch of ridiculous random fucking white boys just going crazy. Like it's some fucking damn the man, fuck the government. You know what I'm saying?
Right. And that's where hip hop got fucked in the game because that was the whole great majority of the message. When it first popped off with the Public Enemy and all that, it was like, fuck the machine. It was going a certain direction. And
we
then
talked about this on Wednesday.
What's up?
Remember, I told we talked about this on Wednesday, and I was like, as soon as people start realizing, it took, like, Rodney King happened, and then motherfuckers was like, oh, so what they're saying in these rap songs ain't like bullshit. Yeah. Then they were like, oh shit, we gotta fucking delegitimize that, so any message that might come out of it, it'll, like any other, you know, UFOs or ghosts or any other weird shit, people will just go, well, look at those kooks. That's what you yeah. believe. So they go, look at these fucking...
Look at these
fucking... You know, I'm afraid like a motherfucker if I saw these motherfuckers coming down the street and I'm clutching my purse. Like, oh, now I'm delegitimizes everybody.
Yeah, like, oh, it's just 2 Chainz. Ain't no ring to discard.
Right.
Because, it's taming the beast and fucking making it a pretty pet. And that's exactly what I think they did to hip hop.
And that's the reason why hip hop has been fucking compromised. And it had a point. And now it's commercialism, it's materialism, it's consumerism. It is. This is what the new thing all y'all need to buy because the fucking owner is paying this record label to have these rappers rap about them.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I love when fucking older people, not older, but white people in particular, when they, especially the young ones now, when they talk, especially when the fucking saying nigga come up, and the rapper's saying all this stuff, and when they get offended at stuff rappers say and all that stuff, I'm like, do you, especially before the internet hit, like, you do where it gained its most popularity in the 90s and early 2000s, like, you do understand there is no major minority, you know, record label execs or like owners and
yes.
presidents and it's these old fucking Jewish men that decide what's the sound of the culture. So that never creeps in. You think fucking Too Short and whoever you find offensive, Two Live Crew, you think they're showing up at a fucking Sam Goody dropping off a box of CD like somebody, you know. Like, get the fuck out of here. Won't you blame those fucks and that promote the worst of the fucking worst?
And that's the reason why I done brought that up many times on the podcast. 100% of record label execs are Caucasians outside of the fucking community. 100% of the radio owners that pick what songs are played on the radio are outside of the culture. And 60% of the people who buy it are outside of the culture. We lost control of it a long fucking time ago.
Yeah, and I was just kind of just following trend, kind of predicting like the weather and hoping we can catch it at the right time.
We didn't have control of it from the gate. Even in the early, I mean, we had to fucking beg and plead, and here we are still years and getting disrespected by the Grammys. I say we, but, you know, it's like you can't want to be a part of their shit. Like, you know, like if your validation comes because some other motherfuckers go, all right. Finally, we'll recognize. He's like, man, fuck them. And I know the Source Awards, all that bullshit came along. And that was kind of an answer. But
but it's all bullshit. Speaking of bullshit, Lola Jones, former dedication of motherfucking Trap Lord himself, I didn't know she was a G. I just learned this. I didn't know how gangster she was. And she just recently fucking pissed Drake, because apparently Drake is going to be he's hosting the...
Oh, that shit didn't already pass? I thought it already happened.
No, I don't think it happened yet. And
Drake, oh, that was me, my bad. Drake is hosting the 2014 ESPY Awards, and Lolo Jones got on Twitter to say it's amazing
that Drake is hosting the ESPYs, but it's going to be tough for him to hand out all those awards to Rihanna's ex-boyfriend. God damn. I was last fucked up.
But true. Rihanna can rap.
I'm just putting that out there. She
I don't get it.
Oh, what's up, Trav?
I don't get it. Who is Rihanna or Drake?
She's missing both of them because Drake and Ron, I guess, are supposed to be dating again or whatever.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And so Drake is going up there and he's going to be passing out a bunch of awards to a bunch of niggas that ran at a blown off.
Oh,
shout out to Lola for getting inside and just
like that. They don't ever estimate a white bitch. But I was actually going to say the one thing that was really fucking, and I don't think I posted it, but I'm pretty sure other people did. They had collected a bunch of pictures of Drake, and I remember seeing us saying that Drake is the proudest girlfriend or the proudest trophy wife.
Basketball wife when he was with all the basketball players. And
you saw that shit, right?
It's like Who wouldn't be fucking hyped to just be able to hang out with LeBron and whoever the fuck else pictures he was in there with? A couple of them. The one where he was looking up at the ball like...
Yeah. Just... That nigga looking like
a loser. He was, it's just like all these motherfuckers making memes and talking shit, just like the Chris Bosh shit that happened like 2 years ago that still pop up about him. Like, you would fucking murder your family to fucking be in that position, or great hanging out with all these fucking ballers and shit, front row, getting backstage, or, you know, the fuck out of here. You gonna go on internet, let me fucking make fun of these guys who I really fucking want to be like. And I fucking take them and or steal their music or whatever. The fuck out of here, bro! It's everybody that do that shit. And I get making fun of celebrities and all that stuff. But
one I especially get is making fun of Drake because it's just so goddamn easy. Like, he's a fucking, he's a parody. Like, he, I think Drake, I would have respected Drake, and I think Drake's career, he wouldn't have been as successful, but he'd be a lot more respected if he hadn't been signed by Young Money. I think that fucked him up, because Young Money comes off of gangster rap, if you will. So when Drake lined up with them, he had to throw on some tough guy shit. He had to kind of start acting like he was tough or whatever. And so that fucked him up in the game. If he would have been able to do it like Macklemore, if he would have gone the independent route like Macklemore, I think that would have fucking helped him. But unfortunately, he's lined up with Young Money, so he gotta act tough, and everybody knows he's not fucking tough. He's a kid from the fucking suburbs of Toronto, and so, I don't know.
Well, one thing for sure, I kind of followed him since the Degrassi days, but when he had started rapping on there, he kind of had this common sort of flow, like common, you know what I'm saying, the rapper common, like he was conscious, you know what I'm saying, like he just had a, you know, he could be lyrical if he wanted to, but obviously once you're in the higher ranks, kind of like Wale, you know, give him some fat fucking beats and something to brag about, and he could do it eloquently, you know what I mean? So he's in a comfortable zone right now. He's not really flexing how he should be, but you know, he's getting all the praise and bitches love him, and I get so mad when, yeah, I get so mad, it's me just being a hater, I guess, about how, you know, oh, Drake would treat me so good. Like, no, Drake would treat you like any other motherfucker's gonna treat you like shit. It's just that he comes off soft because he wants you to feel like, you know, he loves you.
And then he'd break up with you and write a song about you.
Yeah, no, not even that. He'll make a love song saying how much he loved you and how he misses you, and you're like, no, fuck, you don't ever call me. So, yeah, I get mad about that shit, which is why I kind of find distractions and other things.
Yeah.
Some of my favorite things.
I know, actually, speaking of a few of our favorite things, I know Trav has been talking about this, being over there at the PW Tours, but we haven't been able to bring it up over here on the IBHM podcast, so I gotta bring up some sad motherfucking news that the Ultimate Warrior recently passed away, and fucked me up, that was by, even though he's a piece of shit, he's dead, there's still no reason not to be fucking honest, but, he passed away recently out here in Arizona, and I guess Nancy Grace did some controversy, by bringing up some steroid abuse and professional wrestling, and I don't know, let's see what your take on that one, Strat. Did you get to read it?
No, I heard everybody's opinion, I heard all the quotes that she, you know, I've read all the quotes that she... She said, she's genuinely like a piece of crap, like as a person, like at least it seems to me, like all of you. She's just a terrible person. She's a terrible person who had a journalist, and it's just like, no, she's a fucking gimmick, a character on TV, and her thing is fake outrage, and you know, when pretty white women go missing, they're like, oh, you know that. That's what she does. But, you know, whatever. Anything she said about a restaurant, whatever her intern Googled probably that day, and she's going to talk about it.
Yeah.
And somebody can't explain, she's not going to do any research or hard hitting kind of.
And there was a video on YouTube that really kind of fucking called her out, where during that whole Trayvon Martin thing, she was on Trayvon's side, and she was saying how
he was a teen, then they got killed.
She was saying that he there was marijuana in his system, and just talking about how he had you know, when people get high from marijuana, they're lethargic and they just want to sit on the couch. And what was the rest of the shit?
Well, she said recently about, she's been talking about people that have got, that have done bad things.
See, exactly.
And equated it to, oh, they've been high and weed makes you go crazy and kill your family. I've heard about people that have, like, woman, like, you ain't heard that shit. Like, shut up. But then they would show a clip that she said however many months ago about, oh, they're just potheads and they're lazy and they just sit on the couch and eat chips and they don't have any motivation. Like, well, what is it? Are they lazy fucking couch potatoes or are they fucking psycho murder? You fucking dumb fucking cunt. And you know, and nobody's telling her, hey, Anthony, there's this shit on YouTube, like, showing you being a ridiculous fucking hypocrite.
There's this thing called the internet, and videos stay on there. Yeah.
Right. Fuck the internet. What about when you got people like Jon Stewart on it, you know, or Colbert and mainstream comedy shit like that calling you out and showing exactly the two different comments? You know, people were, and she just, whatever. She figures it's not her job to be correct, it's her job to get people to watch her fucking show. So
yeah. So fucking Popo dropped off on the laptop, but now he's coming in HD on the motherfucking phone. That's how we get down with it. Yeah, it looked good.
Oh shit, it's so good inside.
So on to the next one, and current events. I thought this was interesting and kind of long overdue. The Huffington Post recently posted this article April 7th saying that playing video games makes your brain thicker, and that's a good thing according to science. And so when you break it down, it says playing video games makes you thicker, and that's a good thing. A study shows that there is a strong correlation between heavy video game use and cortical thickness. You can tell I ain't go to college. A neuroscience term meaning greater density in specific brain areas. Researchers studied the brains of 152 adolescents, both male and female, who average about 12.6 hours of video game in a week. And the findings are particularly surprising and important, though many have made the argument before that gaming improves your brain rather than weakens it. And I've said that a lot with the whole fucking playing video games, and it's whole the muscle memory, and it's the reaction. You gotta immediately react to shit, and it's your brain, your synapses firing and all that. And so I always thought that there was something to do with video games and with quick thinking and with fucking creativity and a lot of things. Now, of course, you don't want to be playing video games fucking 12 hours a day. You still want to be able to balance it out with some regular day-to-day activities, but there's nothing wrong with playing video games. It will help you develop. Just putting that out there.
I'll say
I think you muted.
Did I?
I hear.
Can y'all hear me now? Y'all should be able to hear me now.
Yeah, you're good.
Yeah, alright. Well, what I was going to say, I know it definitely, I think it gives you way better hand-eye coordination, that's for sure. Especially when it comes to the handheld games, I would want to say that's one thing. And I don't know if that's just a bullshit excuse that a kid told me back when I was really into Pokemon, but I mean, hand-eye coordination, that, and especially with, because me, I guess I'm a simple kind of gamer. I like platform beat-em-ups. And usually in platform games, you'll see a pattern of stuff. So I figure if you're going to follow a pattern, like if you know that you got to hit him every time, you know, he makes three steps and goes to the left, like it's going to give you, you know, like so that muscle memory is going to give you, you know, you're going to follow a pattern. I thought that was dope. I think that's what proves that point. But when you're just aimlessly killing, I think that maybe gives you better aim. But then again, like, I don't know. I think some games would, though. I think Mario will get your mind running.
Yeah, I think it's something of that. It makes sense, but it makes sense with Pablo said, like, yeah, like every game. It's not if you just sit there and mash fucking buttons and blah. But if you're figuring out puzzles and shit, oh yeah. I mean, brain games and stuff, that's a real thing. I mean, and it can be, you know, fun, where it's not like, oh, I'm learning something. It's just like, hey, it's just how it is. My fucking neurons and shit are connected and building and all that kind of, you know, kind of shit. So,
and all
but as far as hand-eye coordination, I mean, that doesn't translate to, you know, the real world. It's not like all of a sudden you can throw a baseball. Like, no, it's no. So there's a limit to what it does for the brain.
Yo, I will say that all the fucking years growing up playing Tetris has made me the master of packing shit in a motherfucking freezer. Yo, I'm fucking stacking pizza and fucking chicken and shit into fridge. Can't nobody do it better than me. All the years of playing Tetris. Just putting that out there. So it's up to it. Something to it.
For real.
And speaking of other video games, I know we were bringing up last time, I'm a big fucking Civilization head. I really love this game, and I just found out Sid Meier's has a new Civilization game coming out called Beyond Earth, and it's supposed to be an off-planet and into the final frontier game. I'm assuming it says that. I'm going to go ahead and read it. Civilization VI, the next installment in the Electra series of historical empire management games, recently just came out that they're releasing Beyond Earth, which will be released later this year on Mac, Windows, and Linux. Apparently, the game, if I can find where the fuck it breaks it down at.
I can't believe they still do shit for the Linux system. Like, I thought that was just like a...
No, Linux is still popular.
Sort of thing. Like, I thought that was like the hackers...
And that's what it is. There's hackers in the world, man. They still fucking with that Linux shit. They still fucking with it hard. But apparently that it's going to ask players to settle, explore, and expand on the new alien planet. And the team was excited about the opportunity to continue the story of Civilization into the future because it allows the team to break free of historical context. And that is one thing. I've always loved the game, but it kind of, the one thing that does suck is like, you build your empire and you finally reach the part where you got nuclear weapons and you're starting to build spaceships and go send shit out to space and all that. But it never got into like the sci-fi realm after that. Like, okay, I want to create some shit now that doesn't fucking exist. Like, that'll be the last leg of the game that gets fucking exciting. It's when you can start doing some futuristic kind of crazy shit. But so this is interesting that they're going the whole realm of, okay, now I don't know if the story is going to be that Earth has collapsed or something like that, and then they're moving on from there. And I just think that would be a dope fucking opportunity for them to go ahead and move on and get into the sci-fi realm and just really have some fun with the game outside of historical context. You'll be able to really make up some shit and see what go with it. So I'm
excited. When you talked about it last week, I didn't hear, or last episode, I didn't hear it, didn't listen to last episode till a couple days ago, and I was immediately like, oh shit, what's this Civilization he's talking about? That sounds fucking cool. So I was into, very briefly, this game called Black and White, and I never had, when I was really into it, I bought it, and I didn't have the power on my computer to run it.
Yeah.
When I got my laptop, I didn't go out and buy an actual mouse, and I just was like, fuck this, this game's old. It's probably better shit out there that I can just download. And so, but that's a god game, and I actually thought that that's what Civilization was, but even though it isn't, I'm still really like, I want you to kind of break down the ones that already exist, like your favorite. Yeah. Play or whatever.
Like, I just got the new one that's on PC, and shouts out to Popo. We're gonna get to see Popo in his day-to-day life experience. He had to take off, and so he got the motherfucking camera on the road. We're about to day in the life of Popo driving to a motherfucking party. This should be rather interesting. And the Civilization.
That tear away from the show. Civilization, an RTS video game. Definitely.
Oh, he with it. He with it. Oh. See, and that's how you keep it pimping. You keep it pimping. So Civilization, like, for instance, the one that I have, which I play all the fucking time, I'm on Civilization 5, and all the games are basically pretty much the same, except each year they better the graphics and they kind of add new things, and like, you literally start in the year 4000 BC with a group of settlers and some dudes with like fucking axes, and you just have two units, and then you settle your city, and then you kind of build your empire from there. So like, you've never seen any part of the world, and so like, what's dope about Civilizations, you can pick the size of the world and all that, and it'll randomly generate maps. So like you could do a map where it's like the world is like Pangea, where it's just that one big block of land, so everybody's connected to each other, and it's just surrounded by the ocean. Or you could do it where it's like continents, where there's various continents, and you eventually got to travel from continent to continent. Or they each also have the, what is the Arcadia, I think that's the name of it, where it's just the many different islands spread across the world. There's a bunch of different types of maps that you can have, and you just, you start from ground one, and you got to build up your science, you got to build up your resources and all that. You start off trying to learn how to farm and how to mine and how to invent the wheel and all that, and every time you start opening up your technology, you start learning new shit, and so eventually you start getting into building the printing press, and then eventually you get to where you have tanks. And me being the Hitler guy that I am, how I play the game is the second I get motherfucking tanks, I start going on a world genocide rant where I start just going around killing everybody who doesn't have tanks.
Get them aliens.
Who doesn't
That's how I play it. And so, and the, I'm fucking excited because there's never any black fucking civilizations on the game. That's the one thing that always drove me nuts. Like, they got the Egyptian. Yeah. They got the Egyptians, but they got Ramses looking like more white.
And,
yeah. Papo grooving. I see.
All right. Shit's off. I took it off.
Somehow. How the fuck did you meet me? Okay. Yeah, so there's a whole no white civilization, or excuse me, no black civilizations, but they'll have like the Greeks and the Romans and England, and like the new one that has a whole bunch of new ones. It kind of pissed me off because they have the Indians, or not Native Americans, but they have the Indians, but they have Gandhi running that civilization, which kind of fucks me up, because why couldn't we get African Americans and then have Martin Luther King be the leader of them? I'm just putting
right,
that out
because there. Because y'all motherfuckers shoot everybody.
They're worried about the new one and being able to go, oh, we don't have to be historically accurate. Like, well, you were already historically inaccurate by a long shot by having Gandhi run-ups. Oh, Gandhi's the king of fucking Indians.
Yes.
that's insulting.
It is.
Like, but number one, fuck Gandhi. I can't say that, like, harsher or louder. Fuck that fucking bigot. Fuck that racist. He was a racist. He was a part of the system of fucking...
Was it?
Yeah.
There's a lot about Gandhi that people don't know about. It's a lot about Gandhi that they don't put out to the motherfucking mainstream.
Fuck yeah. His own quotes. His own fucking what he said. His own fucking shit that came out of his own lips that he wrote. African.
Thought he was a man of peace.
Huh?
Oh, Papo said, I thought he was a man of peace.
Oh, I mean, in his way, and he was obviously got that point across.
He was not a fan of
the African. He was not a fan of the Dravidians in his own fucking country, the dark Indians. But Hinduism is, as a religion, is built on a fucking caste system. So when it's ingrained and codified from the beginning, like, that's just, it's like, well, what the fuck? If that's what he believes, and he's a spiritual holy man, well, that shit pretty much says, you know, you know, I mean,
it says a lot about him. Yeah,
kind of fucks up the rest of it.
But yeah, anyway.
But no fucking I found on this one they got some and I forgot dude's name, but they finally added some leader, some civilization on here from like West Africa, a sky or some ASKAI.
Just, did you see the last episode of Cosmos?
No, I barely found it on Hulu, so I'm barely on the first one. I gotta get caught up.
Fucking, I mean, I'm a big Neil deGrasse Tyson fan. He's a hero and just a great fucking scientist and a great communicator overall. But he was talking that where democracy started, bullshit, and where all this stuff started. And he started talking this Greek shit. Like, man, fuck you. Who taught them? Why don't you ask that question, Neil deGrasse Tyson? You know. I know. Why are you continuing this fucking propaganda? This nonsense.
Yes. And the that's the whole thing. Is that
all this shit started in fucking Greece. Where did these fucking people get that? All of a sudden they just had these, whatever.
But no, you own it, and that's that fucking book that I read by Martin Burnell, Black Athena. That was a good point of what the whole Black Athena was talking about, was he was breaking down how when you study history, you study how over the course of the past thousand years
or so. Listen to fucking KRS-One in his one lyric when he talks about how the fuck you talk about you created philosophy when at the same time you're talking about that your country it was illegal to be a philosopher and at the same time you talk about you invented fucking philosophy like they were killing fucking so they didn't just again it didn't just spring up the idea had to come from somewhere and then it had to grow from there
exactly. And like how Martin Burnell broke it down in it was that when you go back to ancient history and go back to the Greeks and the Romans, they were very vocal back then, and not all of them, but they were vocal that they learned everything they learned from the fucking Egyptians. The Egyptians
right,
were the ones who had
it was an answer. Obvious question, like, where'd y'all get this shit from?
They just popped up overnight with all this information.
Transport water from here to here? Oh, yeah, the fucking Romans came up with that, oh, I'm sure. And four fucking... 400 BC. What about the fucking 3,000 years that of civilization before that?
Exactly.
You know, like fucking pyramids were built 3,000 years, before that. 2,500 years before the fucking Romans even were all great and fucking high and mighty.
And that was the whole thing Martin Burnell broke down, how once everything changed around the time of slavery, because the whole thing was that England was in this golden age where it was like, it was the Egyptians were the great masterminds and they could do no wrong and all that. And what they broke down was how they started rewriting the history books because they started enslaving Africans. And the whole thing was, how can we say that we're the greatest civilization and we could do no wrong, but they were enslaving these people. So let's make them look subhuman. And how do you make them look subhuman when they have such a rich history, you take that history away and you attribute it to someone else.
Like how do you, that's like basically, how do we kill our roots as humanity? Like how do we fucking make our roots, how do we delegitimize where and we...
Fortunate part about it... It started from the bottom, now we're here. And the unfortunate part about it is that people don't fucking study history. So we just take, okay, this is what they're telling us, so that's what it is. And it's like, well, no, you gotta kind of dig a little deeper, but...
No, I want shit spoon-fed to me, motherfucker.
When it's spoon-fed, it's so much easier that way.
Right? Tastes so much better if I don't have, you pick. You worry about all of that.
You tell me what to believe. Exactly.
No, it's frustrating because I got into it on Facebook with my co-host on Monday on the live cast, Bruce Lee, because I posted a thing about white Jesus or something. I forget the
that's usually when you offend me.
And the thing said, I'm not. He was like, oh yeah, I know, I'm a white guy in this region. But don't worry about that. Just have faith. Right? And so Bruce is getting on me. And I'm just like, why? I said, until decent people stop responding in this tepid, I said, look at all of Jesus' iconography that you've seen in your entire lifetime. That means forever. I said, man, it's probably 2 million times you've seen some kind of Jesus iconography, some fucking Swedish looking fucking Jesus running around, so imagine even if it's only a couple hundred thousand times you've seen it in your lifetime, that's a fucking lie. You're being lied to in the worst way, because it's a lie that you can just look at on the face and go, this is wrong. Like, why are we promoting this? Like, who's responsible for this? Like, should be the question. Why are we fucking worshiping Cesare Borgia as our fucking, God Almighty? This is a fucking ancient Hebrew?
Yes.
Great. Like, that's what we're calling, this fucking Norwegian-looking fucking guy with his fucking abs and shit.
And the story, I can't remember if I saw that on Hidden Colors, but the story breaks down to going back then to the time of Cesare Borgia, and it was, what's his name, Leonardo da Vinci, or was it Michelangelo that painted all those pictures? It was one of the motherfuckers.
The European version of the fucking First Family or whatever the fuck it's called.
Because basically, because how it broke down was, and a lot of people kind of take this out, and that goes back to the Dark Ages. The reason why it was the Dark Ages, it was because it was dark for the Europeans.
North Africa and the Middle East had it popping.
Yeah, the rest of the world was cool. It was the Europeans that were in a dark age. But what happened was Christianity started to fall the fuck apart, and Islam started becoming the world religion. It started really popping up. And so what Cesare Borgia said, he went to, you know, the artist of the time, was like, yo, we need to paint this god as being white, because then we could come to the people of Europe and be like, why are you worshiping that brown god over there when this god looks like you? And then so then that's when people started, oh, well, we'll stick with Christianity. Because that's
just a psychological mindfuck. It's just a lie, a codified lie, a fraud. It's just
unfortunately,
just on an intellectual, just on a historical, fuck race, fuck, oh, Jesus was black. No, Jesus was a fucking ancient fucking Jew, fucking Palestinian fuck that look, didn't, you know, he didn't have,
I saw Papo's eyes.
I'm green, though. Keep going, Chad.
You know, he wasn't Shaft in the game and shit with his fro and fucking bell bottoms. You know, I'm not that fucking guy. Jesus was black power. You know, that's as dumb as fucking saying Jesus was some fucking Swedish looking guy. No, he was a fucking ancient fucking Hebrew. Whatever they fucking look like, that's what they were. They didn't look like this fucking red, brown haired guy.
The thing that is real interesting, it's funny because this wasn't even notes, but this brought up a good conversation. But the thing that is interesting, and I'll probably bring this up again in the next episode so we can fully have a thesis behind it. But it goes back to that the celebration of the gifts of Alexandria? What is it with Cleopatra? Oh, what the fuck is the name of it? Why can't I think of the name now? But... fucking Haterazzi talked about it on Jupiter. Something of Alexandria. When the coronation, whatever the name of it is, I'll remember by the next episode. But going back to that time of the BCs and all that, there was this thing called like the Greetings of Alexandria or something like that. And basically Cleopatra and, I gotta look it up while we're talking. But Cleopatra basically brought together and they had this big ceremony where they were taking, Caesaron, and they were naming him the son of God, and they were naming him the king of kings. And a lot of the story of Caesaron and this coronation that they had to knight him as the son of God, because back then with the Egyptians, whoever was the pharaoh, he was considered the king and he was considered the god. Whoever the queen was, she was considered the, you know, the goddess. So their children were then the children of the gods. And a lot of the stories of what they used to talk about Caesaron, they called him the king of kings and they called him the son of God and a lot of different things. And it turned out that it looks very similar to the story of Jesus. So the story that we hear about Jesus and about him being Palestinian, it might have actually been Egyptian, and they might have been talking about Cleopatra's son. That might have been who the whole story of Jesus was.
Yeah, that whole theory, I mean, it just gets people like, it's just so out there. And because, you know, and also it fits because of the time, nobody knows what he did between the age of 12 and 30. He goes away and then he pops up again, he's 30, and then he has his 3 years, last years of his life that are obviously mostly focused on. Like, nobody asked, what did he do between 15 and 30 or 12 and 30? And the idea that he was in fucking in India learning fucking Buddhism.
That was my idea. That's the shit I had to take it. And that's why I'm saying it's just like Buddhism, right?
The crux of love and peace and fucking turn the other cheek and all that kind of shit. Like, well, that's some, you know, East Indian, kind of.
And that was interesting in the book by I can't remember his name, but The Untold Story of Jesus. He broke down, and it's on, if you follow me on Goodreads, you'll see it in my books that I've read. And it was The Unknown Life of Jesus. It talked about how this dude went out to some Buddhist temple out there in Tibet or something like that. And he was studying with some monks, and the monks were talking about how there was this kid that came around the age of 13, 14, and he came out there to study with the Buddhist monks, and his name was Esau, and he came over there preaching this whole one God story, and then he studied out there with them for 16 years, and after he got done, he decided to head back out west, and that the time frame, if you break it down, looks like that's the time frame of when the story of Jesus, when he disappeared for 16 years, and he came back preaching the story that was similar to Buddha, it's similar to the one God thing, and so we might be talking about the same person. It might have been the son of Cleopatra that went out to India after all that shit broke down with the Romans trying to kill the Egyptians, and then he went, studied with the Buddhist monks, he came back, and that's the reason why the story of he was resurrected, because they thought he was dead, they thought he got killed, but he actually went out of the country for 16 years and he came back, and oh my God, the son of God is back. But they were talking about Sesseron. It's a theory.
It definitely is something to think about and to look at from that perspective and to match things up. But you have to go into that knowing when you bring that up, it's going to offend people, and they're going, oh, even open-minded, Peter. That's just, you know.
That's absurd. Yeah. That's the reason why I bring it up on the show all the time, because a lot of certain things that I bring up, people will take it as me saying atheist things, and it's not me. I'm not atheist. I genuinely...
You called a fucking atheist. Fucking Ossoff called me an atheist.
Like, goddamn atheist.
What? Like, I don't, like, just because I agree with atheists a lot, they're fucking arrogant fucking assholes too. All sure of themselves, and you know, like, what world do you live in where you can, like, look at, like when, if you look at, like, sacred geometry and how the universal language is mathematics and things like that, how shit grow and how DNA looks and how cells look, all that shit is just way out of our scope of fucking understanding. So to be all sure, like, now there's, you know, what if you're just fucking worm food when you die, or this idea that you go to some special place and you know, you're one religion that has only been around for, you know, 25% of the fucking, you know, you think of, you know, humans came around about, you know, settled as far as, like, culture and, you know, settled down, stopped being nomads and shit, you know, 8,000-10,000 years ago. Well, Christianity only been around 2 of those 1,000 years. Judaism only been around 3 of those 10,000.
Yeah, 3 to 4, yeah.
You know, so... you know, so everybody before you was a fucking sinning fuckbag that's going somewhere and burning now, and that's just stupid, and your fucking views on that, it's dumb to be so sure. But again, on the other way, it's in that sense, but you have to know that there's something beyond you, and it's like, yes. It's not meant for you to understand. You'd understand.
And that's the thing that I always say.
At least in this form, in this fucking, you know, exactly. You know, maybe we get all the fucking answers. I don't know, and I'm not afraid to say I don't fucking
know. And that's the thing. I think we focus as a society too much focusing on, oh, well, we know this and we know that. We don't focus enough on what we don't know. And I say that all the fucking time. We only utilize 10% of our brain. We only know what 3% of our DNA is. We've only seen 4% of the ocean floor. Like, it's so much shit we don't fucking know.
You know, like, we still have problems with each other. Like, you know, like, interpersonal, we can't even get along, and fucking dropping bombs and shit like that. And we don't know. Yeah.
We don't know. That's the end of it.
Until, so, like I was saying, until the fucking community comes down and Jesus come off and take it all up, then maybe we'll get the fucking answer.
Yeah, until fucking Jesus comes back with Jimi Hendrix and Tupac, I don't know what the fuck is gonna happen. So I just go ahead and just roll with the punches and try to learn as I go.
Right.
And Popo is a good segue into the Nets article with him.
Can we say amen to that?
Amen. Or, well, no, I won't even go there. But, fucking Popo driving podcasting live.
Right, man.
Popo, I don't even know. He's kind of breaking up, so I don't know if he can fully hear us. But Popo is live fucking podcast driving. And this brings up the next topic of the hidden toll of traffic jams. Recently, the Wall Street Journal broke down this whole scientists increasingly link vehicle exhaust with brain cell damage and a higher rate of autism. Apparently, congested cities are fast becoming test tubes for scientists studying the impact of traffic fumes on the brain. As roadways choke on traffic, researchers suspect that the tailpipe exhaust from cars and trucks, especially tiny carbon particles already implicated in heart disease, cancer, and respiratory ailments, may also injure brain cells and synapses key to learning and memory. And once again, I chalk this up to my theory of overpopulation, and it's too many motherfucking people on Earth. I went right to Trav so he could shake his head. No. Overpopulation with fucking shit up. Fucking it up. I'm just saying.
No, I mean, I understand why that's... I just don't buy it. I get why it's so, like look, well, it's more people and shit's all fucked up. Like, there's more people, so I just don't... Like I said in the text, I was like, I said, you know, back in the day, like during the Crusades, I said, and that was like in 1000, 1100, you know, there was bloodshed. It was just like your chances of like living from violence or some kind of disease or weird shit where, you know, death was just lurked for everyone on the planet. Like, so I just don't, for a lot of reasons, not just because of that, but don't believe overpopulation is a thing. It's, I get densely populated areas, like eventually when I just don't buy it personally. I don't
I don't like take overpopulation to the sense of like there's too many people on Earth, we gotta get rid of these people. Like, I bring it up all the time because it's just too many fucking people on the goddamn roads. I want to get to work sooner. I don't want to have to be in traffic for an hour, so kill some of these motherfuckers off. I'm just saying that. But my thing, I do think that there is something to do with dense populations that would consider the fucking fact that, like, going back to, like, we've been in our biological form, if you will, for like 200,000 years, and then we've only been in like cities like this for the past like 1,000 years, if that. And so I think there is something to us being hunter-gatherers, and we grew up in villages and small little communities with people, and then to be in these fucking massive cities with fucking 10 million people, and you don't know any of these damn people, and then we're in traffic together, and I get to work, and I gotta argue with my boss, I gotta argue with this motherfucker, and it's just, and just dealing with all of this, and that's goes back to the isolation tank of unplugging from all this shit. I think some people get riled up too much because there's just not room to breathe, and you don't know your neighbor, and you just what our human DNA has been used to living as a society out in the village, out in the wild, and us living in a city with all these fucking strangers around us. I think there is something too with some of these shootings, and I think a lot of it comes down to just motherfuckers. It's just too much. There's too much. There's over. I don't know, the opposite of sensory deprivation. There's too much sensory going on. There's too much traffic. There's too many people. And I think there's something to it. What's up?
Sensory overload.
I definitely think it's
Sensory overload. Yeah. What was you saying, Papo?
Oh, no, I was just saying, I definitely think it's... I mean, it's a whole mix of stuff. I saw so many studies that women between the ages of 36 to, you know, to, and up higher, or they're either too young or too old. I mean, the fucking kid comes out, you know what I'm saying? The same way. So there's so many different studies and things that do happen. They do things. It's just a mixture. You're right. Just us being out of our element, and just we don't know what the fuck the effects that all these shits have on us. It's true. It is.
So I'm just saying, Georgia guy.
As far as it being part of the fumes, who knows?
Yeah, and I'm just saying, Georgia guy.
I'll say one more thing. If that's the case too.
Damn, Georgia
guys, man. That's my shit, yo. I have to see that in person.
That's why man won't.
That's why what? Oh, shit, I don't know if I
was. Oh, no, I was going to say, that's why the FDA hasn't approved the cure. Yeah, yeah. That's why the FDA hasn't approved the cure of AIDS or the cure of cancer. That's why they have the FDA approved it for mass.
We got to get rid of some of these motherfuckers.
Yeah, we got to level up playing fields.
let's get the population under a billion, and then we'll start saving some motherfuckers. But we got to kill off all these motherfuckers.
That's a lot of fucking, that's a lot of, we had 7.5 billion already. Get it under a billion.
Get it under a billion. That's why they're working on all these robots, so the robots could do all these little minimal jobs and all that, like fucking self-checkouts and fucking Amazon with the drones dropping off the motherfucking packages and shit, so they could get rid of all these minimum wage jobs. So
they're going to kill these niggas off sooner.
There's no incentive to who do you steal from? Who do you fucking who are your pawns then if you fucking take everybody out? What then? I get it. Oh well, then we'll have your robots do the work for us. Okay, then so you're just gonna have a handful of people that are gonna make your robots and stuff. Well, eventually they're gonna be like, man, fuck this. I'm not. you would hope shit. I don't know.
See how far artificial intelligence goes.
See, not my lifetime, so fuck it.
And I'm just bullshit with that. But the one thing though that has been kind of going through my fucking brain that I do wonder about is that I am real big on that whole simulation theory and the possibility that we might be in a fucking computer program. I think it is plausible. We don't know how deep into fucking reality, how long this shit has been around. We don't know. But the one thing that I do think is interesting, and it's just a theory, and I'm not saying it's true or that this is, I think it's possible, but not to say if it's true now or not. If we are simulation theory, we are inside of a fucking computer, and the computer is attempting to replicate itself, if you will, how would that go about? The universe would be born, you would have all these fucking the creatures, the little germs that end up turning into fish, that turn into dinosaurs, that turn into fucking apes, that turn into humans, however the shit goes. I'm not a fucking science expert. But then that's exactly how it happened. I'm pretty sure I read that somewhere. It's something just like that. Fish and a dinosaur and a monkey and a human. It was five steps. That's all it took. And then fucking we get to the human, and then the human creates technology. The human builds the technology, eventually makes AI. The AI merges with the human, where you have half bio, half technical creature or whatever. And then eventually the robots take over, and then once again the robot becomes the man. It's the evolution, and the computer simulates itself, and now it's back to square one of the robots, and then it's like, then you start over. You do a big bang, you fuck up the universe, and then you start all over again, and I think it's simulation theory. I think the computer is replicating itself, and we're viewing that now with all this AI, is that we're about to pass this shit over to the robots, because we're fucking up Earth, we're taking all this shit, and we're taking all the oil, we're fucking up the land, we're killing all the goddamn fish, but robots won't have to eat, so then they'll be the next step in evolution, and then, yeah, the computer has regenerated itself. I'm just saying. Just putting that out there.
Death is taking too damn long. Come on.
And speaking of fucking shit up, I don't know if Trav had saw this shit, but I know he knows all about fracking and shit. Did you see this story? A gas company
Flapping.
Has a 7-year-old and 10-year-old kids from discussing fracking for the rest of their lives.
Yeah, I saw it in the notes. Let me click on the story. It's the link itself. How the fuck do you do that?
Because you have money.
How is that like a thing? Like, how is there even like a process to fucking have that happen? And what have they done? Like, what if this 7 and 10 year old tomorrow has a fucking press conference or goes like in an assembly or something? Starts talking about fracking. What are you going to do?
You assassinate that little motherfucker. That's what you do.
All right. I want to see how far this is going to go.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to set some precedent. No. We're not going to have. Yeah. What? This is fucking absurd. It's almost like, like, I want this to be some kind of troll or some type of satire.
The Onion? Yeah, it's from...
Yeah, like, are you sure this fucking site is, like, legit? Did you, like, Google it? Like...
No. And, me being the journalist that I am, I saw one article on it, and I took it as reality and was like, oh, we're talking about this. This shit is happening.
Wait. Fracking is when you kill and keep on a video game, or is it, like,
well, no, this... On- This is that super hydraulic fracturing of the earth when they're trying to get oil and shit, and so they do, what is it, hypersonic drilling
Hydraulic fracturing.
Hydraulic fracturing.
They pump a bunch of fucking chemicals and water, fresh fucking water that people would be drinking, you know, there's water shortage, so these fucking companies are fucking taking all the water. And they're fucking putting millions of fucking gallons of water and chemicals, thousands of different kinds of chemicals, and they're, you know, they're cracking rocks that have natural gas in it, and they're capturing the fucking gas. And then they're saying it's cool because the fucking water and shit that they use goes back up into, but it don't go back up into shit. It goes into your fucking soil and your fucking reservoirs and all that shit. That's why people can set their fucking water on fire and that comes out of their thing.
There was a fucking video on Worldstar, the devil, but it was a video on fucking Worldstar where there was this guy who was near some type of fracking ranch, if you will, and the shit had got into his pipes, and so he turned on his water faucet and he put a fucking lighter under it and he could set his sink water on fire.
Yeah.
That's not water anymore.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not even rare. It's like just a thing now. It's like when you, it's like that, I mean, if you saw Aaron Brockovich, it's just like that in a million, but in like thousands of different communities all over the fucking country, all over Pennsylvania, you know, where I'm at. It's happening all over the place. And fucking Obama, he's talking all big. Oh yeah, we got the, you know, fracking and, man, fuck you, man. You're just, you know, fucking people up and then you're exempting them from the fucking Clean Air and Clean Water Act. Like, why do they the exemption if everything is all good? You know, a lot of these fracking companies don't answer to anybody. They don't answer to any the EPA, they don't answer to shit.
And if they go bankrupt, we fucking bail them out. And Shane Smith.
The fucking place, what was the place called? Freedom Industries that dumped all that fucking shit in West Virginia?
Yeah, I think so.
A whole week people couldn't shower and fucking eat and brush their teeth and shit. And then they just went bankrupt. And like, you know, they don't have to clean shit up or pay for it. Like, you know, Freedom Industries. That's what non-regulations and, you know, let the marketplace, you know, hash everything out. That's just the hardline libertarian, you know, kind of, you know, let the marketplace, you don't need regulations, let the marketplace, if you make baby food that's poisonous or got some kind of shit in it and 1,000 babies die, well, then your company's going to get, the reputation's going to get hit, and you're going to go out of business, or you're going to lose severe business, and, you know, the marketplace, well, the 1,000 babies are still fucking dead, you know, and it's just like, well, you know, that's things hashing themselves out. That's the system working. It's like, man,
that's collateral damage right there.
That's all it is. You killed a couple of babies. Who cares?
Right. It's like, oh, it's just like Kellogg's. I shared that meme that showed the mission statement from Kellogg's in the 30s.
I don't think I saw that.
About how they'll do everything to ensure you. They were the first to print their nutrition list and all their ingredients and all their processing and how they make shit. And what's in it? Because we want to let you know exactly what you and your family are eating. Blah blah blah. Well, what about why now? 80 years later, Kellogg's. Why is it? Why are you supporting why are you supporting anti-labeling legislations all over the fucking country? You know, and why don't you want people to know what's in your fucking cornflakes?
I think it comes down to, and I love when fucking Shane Smith comes on the Joe Rogan podcast because he makes me realize exactly how fucked up this world is and how soon this shit is all going to fall the fuck apart. And a lot of it just comes down to shit is falling the fuck apart. We're running out of a lot of fucking natural resources. We're running out of a lot of the ability to feed people in healthy ways and all that.
At the same time, we're suppressing, like, you know, clean energy methods and all that kind of stuff.
See, and we're
so they can suck the last bit of, you know, dollars, petrol fucking chemical dollars out of the globe.
And they're suppressing all this shit because it's the last wave of these fucking billionaires who are trying to get the last bit of money that they can fucking get their hands on before the shit all fucking falls apart. They're doing what they can to make their money. It goes back to that fucking George Bush thing, which, you know, conspiracy theorists had this theory, and it kind of looked fucking plausible that George Bush had all that money in oil companies and making a profit off of gas and all that. And when George Bush was on those last few months before he got out of office, fucking gas prices skyrocketed. And it's like, this motherfucker is trying to get as much money as he can before the shit is all done, right? Before he can't get his hands on any more money. Let's take the last little bit of this shit that we can fucking do. So, I think that's what we're looking at. I see Papo heading into his Nana's house. We've been fucking live podcasting the journey of Papo from the white side of town to the black or to the minority side of town.
Which, and I was just about to say, fucking technology, man. And Edwin, I want to get on you, which I sent you a text. I didn't appreciate how you stole my whole, the internet is the greatest invention in the history of mankind.
Yo, because it is.
Yo, I know it is. I told you. I put you onto the internet.
I was able to travel two cities. Come on now.
This is a motherfucking wonderful thing that you could have the ability to have one motherfucker in Gilbert, Arizona, another motherfucker on South Phoenix, and another motherfucker out in Philly podcasting, having a live fucking conversation.
But the one motherfucker just drove. I swear, I was like, all right, he's going to get cut off. You know, they're going to drive to a dead spot or something. And the whole time, he was on there. He was quiet, and you know, but he was there the whole time. I'm like, oh shit!
I was quiet because he was talking the whole goddamn chat, right?
Right. He's like, how dare this motherfucker talk about my Jesus? I ain't got
he's gonna be black.
I ain't got.
Oh shit! But yeah, we are in a world where corporations are running shit. And I saw this fucking article.
Who the fuck came up? Who did that study? I think I posted it on my Facebook. Let me go to my joint here. And Princeton, somebody did a fucking study where it's like, yeah, there is no more democracy. Like, it just isn't.
It isn't.
It's just an oligarchy. Where they looked at legislation between 1981 and 2001, so in those 20 years, and they were like, okay, well, who benefited from all the legislation? And overwhelmingly, poor people got fucked over and over again in the last two and now three decades. You know, that was only from 81 to 2001. But, you know, it just got worse in the 10 years since. Since that, you know, in their study. And, yeah, it's not even. And especially this, they've reinforced fucking money is speech. You know, with, you know, they did it with Citizens United in 2010. And then the McCutcheon version, verdict or whatever just came in from the Supreme Court where they just basically reinforced, yes, money is speech. And now not only can you buy, you can spend money on all these different fucking, you know, it's not just a thing like where you can spend money on one candidate or one election, whatever. Now you can put money in all these different fucking pots and it's absurd and can't find the goddamn thing.
And that is, we live in a fucking society now that we're run by corporations. It's the corporations. Whoever, whatever company you're putting your
there's
money
a word for
to, that's who's running shit. What's up?
There's a word for that. It's called fucking fascism. Like, people throw around all these isms and shit and don't actually know what the fuck they're talking about. Like, they call Obama, he's a communist, socialist. Like, you dickhead. Like, you can be more fucking opposite. You can't be a fucking, you know, communist and a socialist at the same time.
But Obama did.
But he's a special, and he's the Antichrist, so he's a special kind of fucking communist. So, you know, but just the basic, like, real quick, socialism is when the state does for the, provides for the people. Communism is when the people provide with the overall goal is for the state good, China, all those kind of places, you know, it's the state, and usually the people are, all of them are doing bad because everybody has to sacrifice for the state. you know, and then there's capitalism, where you do whatever you gotta do to make fucking money, and everybody supposedly has an opportunity, but there's obviously limits and rules to that itself. But for the most part, and capitalism requires a big section of that, however, that community, that society to be subjected to, you know, all kinds of fucked up shit. We need a base of poor fucking people. People that will do anything to fucking scratch and claw and try to get what we have. We need that. And so that's it. So, oh, and fascism is when fucking the state and fucking corporations combine and fucking dominate the people. So that's what we're saying. How does a company like ExxonMobil in 2010, and I'm sure their profits have gone way up since then, but the stats I know are from 2010. I need to up my stat game. But in 2010, they made $19 billion in profit. In profit. Not in revenue or in like overall, but in profit. After everything was done, salaries, all the rigs were paid off, all the new fucking oil hoses were, you know, bought. They made $19 billion in profit. They paid $0 in fucking U.S. federal taxes. And they got $450 million in return from the government.
That's the reality.
And you work all year. Just yep. You work all year. You make 50 fucking grand.
If you're lucky.
If you know, you make 50 grand. They take 20% of that. So you go home, you know, with 35 grand or however the math works out. Imagine, my thing is, if you go, you make 50 grand and you make 50 grand, and then every April comes around and you just get 8 grand check out. Man.
Bam.
You know, like, what did you do? You didn't pay any taxes. Where's this return coming from? It don't work like
hey,
that.
Your phone charger.
For you and me. You know, so.
Bro.
And that is the reality of where America has become. And this has been predicted for a long time. And people were like, oh, it's conspiracy theorists. And they keep making. No, this is the exact fucking reality. And people won't wake the fuck up because they're still plugged into mainstream media who's just fucking bullshit.
Which is like, blame poor people. Poor people are the fucking reason for everything. And they just fucking go for it. Oh, food stamps, welfare. I just told you how this company just got $450 million for doing nothing. How about that for the fucking welfare? They're doing fucking fantastic.
But the minorities. It's their fault and them food stamps, goddamn minorities, Obamacare. That's what the problem with America is.
Here's another stat that I know. In 06, fucking social welfare, they spent $60 billion in social welfare. All government housing, all government programs, school aid funds, school lunches. Everything you can think of they spent $60 billion of the government. Well, what did they give out in fucking corporate welfare, which is subsidy and fucking all kinds of shit? Not the same year, they get $90 billion or $95 billion. They almost double corporate what they did in social. So who's the fucking welfare queens? It's not fucking Renisha on the block. I mean, sure, it is them, because, you know, they're just stuck in a fucking cycle of idiocy and poverty. Yeah, right. Hood rat is just awfulness. But why are you mad at them? Because you see it, because it's in your face. You see them on the bus and in traffic and in town and in the mall, and you can look at them, but then you don't fucking realize, you know, the fucking, well, that mall that you were just in, that got built on your fucking dime, or that stadium that you went to go see your fucking, you know, spent all your money that you worked hard for, and then it cost you an arm and a leg to take your family to a fucking baseball or football game or something. That stadium was built on your fucking, with your tax dollars. The fucking billionaire owner gets out scot-free. Yes. You know, all kinds. Like, get the fuck out of here. Why don't you don't you have some outrage where, like, some well-placed fucking outrage? You're just mad at poor people and mad at minorities.
That's the thing of, once again, pointing the fingers at one another instead of the ones who are the fucking problem. And I brought this up with that's the reason why I don't give a fuck about how much money athletes are making. I don't care, because if they're making that much fucking money, the owners and the business guys ahead of them are making way much more money. But once again, it's the pointing the finger at one another and not pointing the finger at the people who are the fucking problem. That's the whole fucking the Eric Snowden thing. Eric Snowden dropped all that motherfucking information, but instead of us getting mad at the government because all the bullshit that they're doing, we get mad at the man who tells us that they're doing the bullshit. It's point the finger at one another so we can keep fighting over religion and race and over politics and all that, and not worry about the motherfuckers who are running away with these billions and trillions of dollars. They are the ones that are fucking everything up. But no, let's get mad at one another.
Totally.
To say.
We're Pop At.
We're Pop At. Pop will come back into the conversation. I think you muted right now.
Oh shit, I guess I am. I was talking this whole goddamn time trying to get you.
No, we didn't catch none of that. Pop, you motherfuckers won't let me talk about damn black people.
Damn you, nigga. You're ignoring me.
Goddamn niggas won't listen.
Ah, man. I just lost my train of thought.
Shit is fucked up.
Yeah.
And you probably lost your train of thought because Condoleezza Rice, who's the wiretap queen, joined the Dropbox board, and she might be dropboxing into your memory bank and taking out the thoughts of what you was just trying to think.
I didn't understand that. I'm like...
But no, I saw this story too, and it kind of fucked me up because I'm a big Dropbox person. I love fucking Dropbox. I think it's the greatest fucking recent invention. Oh, it's fucking phenomenal. I got it on every device that I have.
That's how I can send Jupiter to people now. Because that file is fucking huge. Those two files are
cool. Yeah, you can't fucking email it or nothing.
I was always on you like, yo, can I get that link again?
Yeah.
Can you host that...
Can you host that shit again?
Yeah, so I can send the link to my friends and let them download it. Now, I just Dropbox that shit to you. You know. So, it's, yeah, tremendous.
And now the concern, though, is that apparently the big story out of Silicon Valley was that Condoleezza Rice, who was a former Secretary of State under George W. Bush, has joined the board of the popular cloud storage fucking company Dropbox. And they were saying with the whole... Oh, what's up? Someone says
like, no, I'm sorry. I'm actually watching this live. I'm trying to.
I know, yeah. I got the fucking laptop to the side. I think I'm on 20 minutes behind, but yeah, I'm watching the show as we fucking doing this. But they were saying how, privacy and the NSA has been authorized to, you know, wiretap UN officials and all this other stuff. And she was one of the proponents of it. And now that she's in the fucking thing with Dropbox, which Dropbox is funny because, you know, I got the Samsung fucking Galaxy and the shit came with, you know, I got a 50 gigs worth of storage on Dropbox through it.
Yeah, shit.
And it automatically like, yeah, I got like 52 gigs worth of fucking Dropbox memory on this shit. And it all came...
Wait, get to that problem.
What's up?
Would you agree in them terms and conditions?
Oh, I agree.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. And these motherfuckers, like, the second you take a picture, it pop up in the motherfucking cloud. So I'm like, I better not... take no fucking dick pic or nothing like that, because that shit is right up in the motherfucking cloud the second you do that shit.
Wait. So everything that you post, it goes straight to Dropbox, or
every time I take a picture, if I take a screenshot, all this music I'm downloading onto my phone, all that shit goes directly to Dropbox as soon as
every
I do.
I plug in a USB cable. I mean a USB stick in my joint. All of a sudden, here come the drop on my laptop. Here come the Dropbox icon in my tray, my notification tray. God damn it. Right click, exit out Dropbox. Hit the button.
Exactly, yeah.
But if I don't realize it, I'm like, oh, shit, it's been 10 minutes in and synced up with our... God damn it. But, you know, we know what we're getting into.
Yeah, and that's the whole thing. We've already lost the battle, to be 100% honest. We've already fucking lost, so fuck it. I'm gonna just ride the fucking boat while I can. And shouts out to Ed Bott, whoever the fuck this is, but he had said about the whole Condoleezza Rice thing. He says, adding Condoleezza Rice to Dropbox board might be the most tone-deaf move by a Silicon Valley company in as long as I can remember. And I do fucking agree, because, you know, that just means that now this is going to be the next fucking company that's going to get in bed with the NSA and then fucking a year or two from now, we're going to be mad at whatever motherfucker, you know, drops the knowledge on us that Dropbox is doing this with our information. And so we can once again get mad at one another and not the motherfuckers doing the crimes.
This is what happened. Remember when
give me crack and they'll kill each other.
When was it SOPA? Remember
the internet?
Google and SOPA. Everybody was pissed and like, oh no, we're going dark on this day.
The censorship.
We want to protest. Well, what happened was the fucking government, Obama and all of them, was like, okay, we're going to make, because they were upset because what they were trying to propose would have implicated the companies like Facebook, like Google, like you're culpable. You hosted it, you put it up or whatever, and some shit happened, you're responsible. So they were like, this is some bullshit. We gonna, and everybody came, oh, what's this? If you didn't know about SOPA before that date, when you went to Wikipedia or Google and they had a black bar and, you know, SOPA, they let you search, but they let you, they show like boycott SOPA or no SOPA,
yeah,
whatever. And Wikipedia was down all day, like, look, we're protesting. It brought a lot of attention. So when the government came and was like, okay, you're not going to be in fucking, you know, if something happens, you're not going to be implicated. You're not going to be, it's not going to be your fault. And they were like, oh, well, fuck it. That's why when they redid it, there was nothing. Facebook and none of them gave a fuck because they're like, well, we're not responsible and we are.
Oh, so we're not going to get in trouble? Oh, yeah, let's do this shit then.
Right,
yeah.
Right, exactly. Right. So when the next time when it came around, it's CISPA and it's PIPA and all them, you know, different various ones afterwards, there wasn't the big online presence and letting everybody know that this shit is going down and in secret. That's why nobody talk about TPP, because it's being done in secret.
I've never even heard of that.
Oh, the Trans-Pacific Partnership? It's like fucking NAFTA on HGH and what the hell are you doing?
Not me. That's people.
Oh, I fucked up. I was trying to take a picture of everybody. Wait, where did you go? You just disappeared, Trav.
Yeah, see my icon. My what's the name is up? Yeah,
Trappy and Scurry, looking real good in the hat. Oh, though, wait, I gotta say.
Wait, that should bring you back. There we go.
Yeah,
I'm snapping pitches.
See, I've been screenshotting since the beginning, motherfuckers. While I've been driving.
No, but go ahead. Yeah, and so yeah, what's the new one?
What were we talking about? I forgot.
Not CISPA. You said it was a new one.
The Trans-Pacific Partnership isn't an internet thing. It's fucking global trading partnership. Like I said, it's like NAFTA on fucking steroids. It's dangerous. It's fucking being done in secret. Like, nobody's talking about it because nobody has access. There's no above board. Like, there's no official. It's all being done in secret. Literally in secret. So, look it up. TPP, Trans-Pacific Partnership. And yeah, it's fucking, it's ridiculous. If that goes through the way it is, it's a game changer in as far as like the power of corporations, of fucking, it's like a globe, like they really, like, they're not like trying to disprove the fucking New World Order and that kind of shit, because they're doing everything to the whole globe is going to be connected and this one central power controls all that, or at least, you know, has, you know, really controls all of it, whatever the perception is, and the public perception. And it's just really like creepy, scary shit when you just look it up a little bit. Like, what the? And the fact that they're doing it in secret, if that don't like get you to go, like,
fucking what? Red flag.
What's happening? Like, what they're doing? They're doing what? And why aren't they talking? Why don't Congress people know about this, or whoever, my local representatives?
And why isn't MSNBC and Fox News and CNN and BBC, and why aren't they not telling the public about these things? What is really going on?
Right, because it's only a handful of those people, and, you know,
all in bed with one another.
Right, they're all homies, and it's like, all right, we're not going to, yeah, here's the memo, literally.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what we're not talking about.
And the whole New World Order aspect of it kind of brings up the Nets thing that I just saw this. And you might know more about this being out there on the East Coast, because this is brand new. I guess this story came out in December. But it says Apocalypse, New Jersey. Apparently, out in Camden, New Jersey, they fucking completely ran out of money to fund the police.
Yeah, Camden's a fucking shithole. It's right across the water from us. It's like...
Okay.
You know, it's like, you know, look at that place. Like, who would want to... Okay. It's this tiny, tiny, tiny place. And it was like every year in top 10 and... every kind of terrible fucking crime statistic you could think of. I mean, it's like a neighborhood in Philadelphia. You know, it's just a neighborhood. It's, New Jersey's a big, long, you know, state. And it's at the bottom, and it's this tiny city across the river from Philly. You know, and it's always, it's like Newark, but at least Newark in North Jersey. It's like, a, you know, it's got a 500,000 people there, and, you know.
Shouts out to Cameron.
Yeah, Camden, right? You know, Camden has like 20,000 people. I'm exaggerating. It's probably bigger than that, but it's just still, it's absurd. And yeah, they ran out of money and they were like, yeah, so we just don't have cops no more and, you know, come to Camden, do whatever. And I'm sure building gets set on fire, it's just going to have to burn.
And I'm trying to find where it says in here because, yeah, they were talking about basically just that. They ran out of motherfucking money, and so they can't fucking afford the cops or anything like that. But I guess the new fucking thing that they're trying to do is they're moving in a whole bunch of, kind of like the movie Minority Report. They're doing some pre-COD shit where they're putting cameras up all over the place so then they could, like, monitor certain cars and certain suspicious activity and so they can stop the crime before it happens or whatever. And so they're trying to do some type of pre-COD, NSA cameras all over the place, microphones, listen to everything that they fucking do. And my thing is always, like, I'm... And not to be the conspiracy theorist, but I always wonder, like, okay, did they recently run this motherfucker into the ground on purpose so they can test some shit out? It's kind of the same theory with people who, with the whole 9/11 thing. It was like, it's not necessarily that with a lot of instances, it's not necessarily that they believe that the American government purposely did that shit or that some CIA agent did that, but maybe America knew that that shit was going to happen, and hey, let's turn the other cheek and let this shit happen so then we can pass these other things. And so it's kind of the same thing with this. Okay, we know this motherfucker's falling apart. Let's not try to fix it. Let's let it fall apart so we can try this new way of fucking monitoring people and all that, because we already know fucking the NSA is listening and recording everything that we're fucking doing. We already know that drones are doing cameras and they can do all this shit all over the place. Facebook just signed up with and got all these fucking drones that they're going to put up in the sky to bring the internet all over the world. Fucking Google just invested into a whole bunch of ones. They got high definition cameras.
Google just bought like 8 fucking robotics companies in the last year.
Yeah, something is going on, and not necessarily that they're preparing for something, but just, I kind of wonder, and I think this is it. It says, the plan now for retaking Camden Streets, using old school but the plan also involves the use of space age cameras and military style surveillance, which ironically will turn this crumbling dead poor, dopescape of Barrett homes and deserted factories into a high end proving ground for futuristic crowd control technology. Beginning back in 2011 when the city first installed a new $4.5 million command center, since it's been taken over by the county, the police have gained a series of what they call force multipliers. 121 cameras cover virtually every inch of sidewalk there, cameras that can spot a stash in a discarded pack of Newports from blocks away. Police have giant 30-foot mobile crane called Sky Patrol that they can park in a neighborhood and essentially throw a net over 6 square blocks, and some type of Japanese robot style device can read the heat signature of a dealer with a gun sitting in total darkness. There are 35 microphones planted around the city that can instantly detect the exact location of a gunshot down to a few meters. Planted on the backs of a fleet of new cruisers are Minority Report style scanners that read license plates and automatically generate warning letters to send to your mom in the suburbs if you've been spotted taking the Volvo registered in her name to score a bag of black magic on 7th and 5. They are changing the motherfucking game, and this is just the start of what will eventually happen as the robots take over, as we move this shit into all the fucking cities and keep an eye on everybody and take these jobs away from humans and give it to the robots and keep an eye on each other, because apparently Americans are no longer the people of America. We are now the not the criminals, we're the enemy of the state, if you will, so the government has to keep an eye on us to protect themselves, so...
What wasn't this like the plot of RoboCop? Didn't the company
Minority Report the movie?
Well, no. But as far as like the company flooded the fucking Detroit with with cheap fucking drugs, and then bought the city, and like the city, Detroit was owned by whatever I forget the name, but I think that's how it happened. It just became a fucking piece of crap where they were like, alright, well, we'll swoop in and we'll buy it, and the city, you know, and it was like Detroit sponsored by, you know, Corp Tech or whatever the fuck their name was, you know, and that's it's gonna be Camden. I mean, they spent 4.5 whatever billion what did you say on that command?
It said a million, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was more than that. Yeah,
right, I mean, that's kind of like a lot more than fucking, well, that's just more. Maybe the command center itself, the building, $4.5 million. I guess that's plausible. But still, I mean, that could have like done something for somebody. Besides getting your precogs in there, that's probably where they got them. That floating in that goo and staring.
They got them in the isolation tanks out there. You know
what? I want to say this. I think if things were like when I first saw Minority Report in 2000 or whatever came out, I was like, that's bullshit, because it's just at 2050. We ain't nowhere close to having the highway system. That remember how the cars drove on fucking build the side of buildings and all kinds of shit. And like Fifth Element is like one of my all-time favorite movies. You know, it's like we're nowhere close to that. Like they won't even let us have fucking electric cars. They won't even approve fucking Tesla's in New Jersey. Chris Christie just, his fat fucking ass just kept Tesla from going, because it's a monopoly. They like, you don't buy a Ford or a fucking Chevy or BMW or Audi from Audi or BMW or Chevy. You buy it from a Chevy authorized dealer or a fucking authorized Toyota dealer. You know, yes. and they have a hold on, you know, and Tesla's like, no, that's not our model. They want to come buy a Tesla car. They come to us and buy it. You know, we sell it to them. They're like, no. What about the middleman? They're like, there's no fucking middleman. Get the fuck out of here. Like, okay, well, you're not going to be able to get in on this fucking racket that we got going. We've had going for decades. And Tesla can't get in any fucking, you know, you got to buy that shit online if you want a Tesla. And go to where, like in Austin, there's a Tesla, showroom, but you can't buy anything there. You just go there and check everything out, physically see what it looks like and how it feels. But you gotta go online and have it delivered. It's all this fucking rigmarole they make you go through. They won't even let us have a fucking Tesla car, but in 2050 we're gonna have fucking, you know, these fucking
precognitive cars and
fuck out of here. Like they got us to a point where we're fucking happy with a fucking gorilla screen on our fucking phone, you know. Oh, Google,
that's all I need.
That can do it. You know, we got glasses now. Google Glass. Like, oh, that's cool. Like, man, you have no idea where we fucking probably could be if we fucking, you know, you know, let things go, you know, to progress the way they, you know they can.
And that goes back to the original light bulb is still lit to this day, because when they first made the motherfucker, they made it so where light bulbs wouldn't burn out. But then GE and the rest of these companies came in and they were like, how the fuck are we supposed to make money on this shit if the shit don't break? So we need to make it where it breaks, so people have to come in and buy some new shit. And that's the reality of the fucking world that we live in. It's all about the dollar. It's not about fixing anything. It's not about progressing as a regular bottom of the rung person. It's about corporations getting over and continue getting over.
Sure, some people will be, they'll, you know, people are going to be successful. They're going to be rich people. People are going to, you know, to make it. But as far as like that idea of, well, if I work hard and keep my nose clean and do the right thing, follow all the rules, I should be able to live comfortably and support a family. That fucking thing, that's old.
Done.
No.
There is no American dream.
There's no middle fucking class. Yeah, I mean, it's done purposefully. I mean, again, look at that legislation that they said that Princeton studied, you know, in the last 20 years and, 20, 30 years. It's been purposefully like, okay, let's shrink the fucking middle. Let's make it poor and fucking rich. And that's it. There's not going to be any comfortable middle fucking class. I mean, we owe $1 trillion in debt. And school debt. And college. Student loans. That's a whole generation. I mean, you know, in the last 15, 20 years where they say, you gotta go to college, and then you come out 60 grand in the fucking hole.
In the fucking hole, trying to figure some shit out and get a job that doesn't even fucking exist anymore.
Right.
That or fucking not even earn the sort of pay that can get you out of that debt in fucking 10 years. It's like, damn.
Exactly.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah. You're still paying that debt. And no, and that fucking, it's not even that. You're not paying the debt. You're paying all that fucking interest too on top of it. So, you know, it's not like you pay the principal or paying all this extra shit percentages on top of that.
I've been paying on my student loan for like 3-4 years now. And when you look at the principal of the motherfucker, I think I've only paid off like $1,000 of it. Like, fucking all the other thousands that they've gotten from me, all that shit is all interest. I'm gonna be paying on this goddamn student loan for the next fucking decade. Shit, fucking Kai and Zay gonna be in college before I get over this little fucking student loan debt that I went and graduated to get a fucking job that doesn't even fucking exist anymore. It's the reality of... It's America. Welcome to America. America.
Yeah, I wanted to ask this. I heard it last episode, but who's got the fucking bird?
it's at my nana's house. I guess it's. Okay. Can you hear that shit now?
Yeah, I just heard that. I didn't even notice that the last episode.
Oh yeah, it was cool, but it just was background. It was nothing distracting.
It was tropical. If one of us can chop it up and make that bitch into a song.
Oh shit! So
I'm pissed this out really quickly. I came here to pick up my sis because we were about to go to this little, you know, kid party thing.
Yeah.
She's fucking passed the fuck out, telling me that she's tired and all this bullshit. I'm like, I did not fucking travel a goddamn half hour. I had to travel two cities.
Travel two fucking cities to sit and podcast from the toilet.
I should go up in that motherfucker. Bears now. Thanks a lot. But yes.
So I guess
subjects.
Before we get out of here, I wanted to touch on something that I guess is considered still considered controversial in today's society, which I don't think should be. But we here at the IBHM podcast, we didn't have many fucking tranny dedications, so we'll continue to show love to the transgender generation. And actually, Skips sent me this article I thought was interesting from CNN World News that India court is recognizing a third gender self-identification. And apparently... Oh. And a ruling that human rights groups are calling historic, India's Supreme Court on Tuesday granted the country's transsexual and transgender individuals the right to self-identify their gender. The ruling means transsexual and transgender people and those who identify as belonging to the third gender will not be required to submit medical evidence of their sexuality to be recognized by the government as a member of that gender. Apparently, a plea was filed before the Supreme Court by India's National Legal Services Authority in 2012 on behalf of the transsexual and Hydra, or third gender community. And so I guess India is making waves with recognizing the transgender people as regular like everybody else. So now I guess on the thing, maybe it'll be you check male, female, transgender, or decline to answer. And I think a lot of this comes down to there's a lot of female porn out in India, so it doesn't surprise me that these are the first people to come out with it, because I mean there's a lot of female porn out there.
By that logic, the South would be full of fucking gay marriage, states with gay marriage. Because when anytime those internet things come out where they get those reports, like who downloads, who searches the most, like, the fucking South dominates in fucking gay porn. Dominate all over the fucking South. Gay porn leads, or they, you know, as far as who, what states download and what. Like, yeah, all these fucking hypocrites.
Yeah, and that's exactly what it comes down to, them being fucking hypocrites about all these goddamn gays, but then they're going home and jerking off to gay porn, and it's just the reality of matter. So I'm not surprised with...
Yeah. It's weird, because they have this thing where there's like a day or a week or a weekend or something where they have this like festival where all the like she dudes can come out and they parade and nobody like spits on them, and then like once it's over, it's like, all right, well,
go back to kicking their ass.
Right. Weird. Like now they recognize them. Like, well, I guess other things are happening. So, yeah, India is an odd fucking place. Yeah. I mean, as much as they are with their fucking spiritualism and their ancient fucking history, they're fucking odd people, and they got fucked by, you know, that European, that white supremacy, it really did. I mean, I always go back to the quote from Avatar when they're gearing up for the major strike on the tree and on Pandora and shit to run them out. He says, we want to blast a hole so big in their racial identity that it'll, you know, generations and generations upon generations will be fucking affected by this shit.
Yeah.
You know, and I think about, like, yeah, that's the fucking goal when you want to, you know, we got to fucking destroy this. We got to destroy their racial identity and who they are. Like, I have a real problem when I see Mexicans and their fucking rosaries and all that kind of shit, because I'm like, you know, they came over there and just fucking murdered you and then was like hoisted this fucking hook on you and shit. The fucking Spaniards, this... still eating off the fucking gold and shit that they stole from y'all, and here you are fucking praising their fucking god. And you know, I know I can't get on what they believe, but it fucking bothers me every time I see it.
Same way I feel with African Americans and with Christianity, when it was like that book was used by slave owners to say, hey, you're supposed to be a slave because look at this book. This book is saying that you're a second class person because you're the curse of Ham and all that, and it's like, and you're following this book that was used to keep you in control. But I don't know, throw my hands up on that.
It's an odd thing, it's a strange thing that kind of behavior really is only, like, humanity has done fuck everybody. I don't give a fuck where you were at, India, Africa, Europe. You know, we had war, you killed each other and stuff. But there's only one group, minority in the fucking globe. They are a minority. And I love how everybody's the majority of the country, of the world is brown, but we're all fucking minorities.
We're the minorities.
Minorities. Like, well, what about fucking people with no melanin? White people are actually the minorities globally, you know, but it's only one people that was like, you know what, we're gonna not only dominate you, we're gonna, you know, take it to this level where, you know, it's just evil. I don't wanna go there. What do you call it when your plan is to fucking destroy somebody's roots, destroy their fucking heritage, destroy their culture? You know, nobody ever did that before fucking European domination. Everybody was like, yeah, we dominate you, but we're not going to fucking, we don't want no trouble. You fucking keep your fucking culture. You just work, you give us, you pay your taxes and you fucking bow to this king and you whatever. But we ain't coming in. We ain't trying to tell you who the fuck to praise and to worship and the fucking, and destroy your fucking, your actual culture. I mean, and again, I'm sure there were instances of that where, you know, warring factions and all that. You know, you hear about it. But on that kind of scale,
across the globe.
Right, exactly.
And it goes back to George Orwell in the 1984 book. He put it best when he was like, to control one's past is to control their future. You take away someone's past from them, you can guide them in whatever fucking direction you want them to want to, because they don't know where the fuck they came from.
Right. Or their idea of where they came from. Oh, we came from slaves. Like, no, motherfuckers, they didn't go over there and kidnap slaves. They kidnapped fucking doctors and fucking musicians and fucking architects and fucking kings and fucking princesses, and they fucking kidnapped farmers. They didn't kidnap and turned them into fucking slaves. We didn't come fucking slaves, you dummy. That's that fucking, again, that's that fucking, you know, you make them think that they come from fucking nothing and they're not gonna, or they have no past. They won't wanna fucking investigate their past. They'll
never strive to be anything because they came from nothing.
Right. Their past isn't anything to be proud of or to glorify. And when they try to, we're going to call them militant. We're going to call them, you know, we're going to, you know, demonize what they believe in. You know, if you're fucking Italian, you can fucking have a march and fucking, you can love a fucking murderer and a fucking rapist and, and celebrate him. If you're fucking Polish or Irish, you get your day and you get your fucking celebration, and oh, he's just proud to be. But as soon as you start talking that African shit, you're fucking militant, you're fucking
Afrocentric
rabble rouser. Yeah, yeah. What do you, you know, what do you, you know, I start questioning. Yeah,
it's actually funny because that brings up, you know, we have we've been chopping up the audio clips and putting them up on YouTube, and one of the audio clips that we got up on YouTube is from episode 1 when I talked about the whole mitochondrial Eve and I talked about the blue eye mutation and so on and so forth, and this white dude chimed in and he was like, I like what you're talking about, but this is a very Afrocentric point of view and so on and so forth. And then I had hit him back with it. I'm like, this is white man science. Like, all these scientists, these things I'm quoting what white people are saying. How am I being Afrocentric quoting white man science
about the origins of shit? Gotta say, well, I gotta say it, so give me some legitimacy.
And that's the thing. Yeah, it drives me nuts because that goes back to the Martin Burnell thing with Black Athena. Anytime I bring that up about how history has changed through white supremacy and all that, and people are, oh, here's this black guy talking. I always have to say, a white guy wrote this. So it's not becoming Afrocentric, a white guy wrote this. I have to quote a white man's literature for someone to even fucking listen to it. That white man was just there. He said the good shit about black people. He said it. We didn't say it. That white man said some good shit about us. So
that was wrong with him. Check his credentials. How did he get? Did he make his records? What's going on?
Going back to the transgender thing, this brings up the last little thing of what is sexuality, and I want y'all to click on this link. I had told Papa about this a long time ago, and I finally fucking found it. So if y'all can go ahead and click on this link, and it brings up a picture, let me know when it pops up on y'all screen.
I kind of clicked it by accident when you said when you talking.
What the fuck?
Popo's like, I've been looking at this picture for the past 30 minutes. That's why I've been so quiet.
Let me tell you.
Yo, the man with the pussy.
I like how
he has his picture watermarked so that you make sure you don't steal the image of his pussy.
Yeah, no, this motherfucker is famous. So to the people listening and watch, or I guess we can't show this on the fucking YouTube, but I will put this up somehow on the IBHM podcast. Yeah. It's a picture, and it has Buck Angel, who is a famous porn star who is called the man with the pussy, and he looks like a biker with a cigar in his mouth. He's tattooed up. He's in great shape, and as you scroll down, he has a vagina. And then over to the right of him is a pale-skinned goddess with some big old tits, and she's a Wedita, and with a nice rack on her, and she
When I see her, I look at her, I'm like, damn, Papa, fucking go nuts for that bitch.
I would probably jack her off.
You probably still. As long as I can play with her titties while I'm playing with her dick, I'm
and yeah, she has like a rock hard fucking monster, and when you scroll down to the bottom, it asks the question, If you are a straight male, given the option to have sex with either one of these two, which one are you more sexually attracted to? The guy with the vagina or the chick with the dick? And it says you can't say neither. Neither is invalid. One of these draws your sexual attention. The only reason you would say neither is to protect yourself from sexual insecurities. And I don't know about y'all, but I would fuck the shit out of that bitch over there in the right. And it says a lot more about sexuality and sexual identity. It's not necessarily the member that comes into play. It's the overall character of what the person looks like. I'm attracted to women, so I'm attracted to that chick over there. It just so happens that she has a dick. And this dude has a vagina, but I'm nowhere near attracted to fucking that vagina. So the question is, what exactly is sexuality? And does the member have nothing to do with it?
No, I know.
He tried to scratch in his head.
No, because I'm saying, hey, like, well, because number one, I'm either going to let that chick with a dick fuck me, which is what happened, or I'm going to have to fuck her in the ass, or, you know, fuck her in the ass. With the dick, and he still has a dick. Like, I can't fuck the thing if it's just got a dick.
I'm wondering, what do we do with this other dick? Because I'm not, you know, I don't want it to enter me. So
right, because it says me, and I can't fuck you while that dick's flapping around.
That's the reason why you
even though you're fucking, you look like a girl and you have tits. Like, no, but at least I can enter that dude because he has a vagina. That's fucked up because it's obviously a woman, but how? How is that a woman? How is that body?
God, why? I mean, why base God?
See, and that's right. See, and that's the whole thing. Sexually attracted to the chick that has the dick because, yes, that dude has a fucking vagina, but while I would be fucking him, that's a him to me. Even though
right, that's
what's vagina, that's
it,
dude.
And I gotta look at them pecs and them shoulders and them tattoos, you know. But if it's a question of what could you jerk off to and what could get you to come, oh, definitely the chick with the dick, because I can kind of, you know,
you just put the finger,
you know,
put the finger over the look, over the dick part.
Yeah, not look at the dick and everything. But if I'm fucking one of the other, you know, like that thing's gonna be like that dick's gonna like be hitting me and stuff. And, like, no, and it's big as shit. It's all intimidating.
It's so attentive. Like, hey,
And what if she? I mean, I assume if I'm fucking her in the ass, she's gonna be jerking her own dick and getting off. Like, no, I can't see that. That's just as bad as looking down and seeing his pecs and shoulders and bald head. You know, but at least it's a pussy I'd be fucking. You know, assuming they're both. Obviously, that's a real woman that just made herself look like a man with
and
surgery.
What I know, the Buck Angel was born a woman and then had the surgeries to look like a man. And this other, the transgender chick, that was a man that did the surgery to look like a chick. And
right. Oh, surgery as far as tits and hormones probably look softer
and all that. Yeah. So, but yeah, that's a... That's
but would the one on the right, I wonder if she have ever would want to... I mean, there's a difference. Some that what exactly what you see here, chicks with dicks, and then obviously some that like get this shit off. I'll make it into a pussy. I want to be a full on woman. You know, like there's a difference. They're not all the same. Every chick with a dick, most of them like being chicks with dicks.
See, but I figured though, like, and I'm just wondering, like, if they chop the shit off, I'm guessing that goes the end of their sexual satisfaction, right? Because I mean.
Right, when you're basically taking a dick and turning it inside out to make a pussy.
You don't have those nerve endings.
Yeah, you're fucking all that up. I mean, I'm not sure. I just don't know enough about it to know if it's come far enough. All right, I think I can take this off the screen now. If we've come far.
Let me go ahead and close this browser.
can keep pleasure. You know, I mean, they can barely fucking do. I mean, that's still. They've been doing tit jobs for 30 fucking 40 years, and it's still an issue. I don't want to lose the sensitivity in my nipples. And that's just fucking tits. you know, and nipples and breast implants. We're talking about taking a penis and crafting it inside out and sticking it into, you know, I mean, that's next level shit. That's level one society shit. We on that level zero shit. We ain't got the dick game.
Yeah, we ain't got that right. And it's actually crazy too, because I was talking to my girl, because she watches reality TV, and she was watching whatever the new Real World is. There's a gay chick on there.
Is she still doing that?
Yeah, they still do Real World. That shit still exists. And she was watching one, and some gay chick on there, and fucking there's a the chick has like some transgender friends, and one of the dudes that came in, it turned out that he was born a chick and had the surgery to look like a dude, and like it looked like a dude, and when he spoke he sounded like a dude. And then you see shit like that with the chick with the dick, and let's say she's walking down the street and has a fucking clothes on, you'd be like, that's a badass bitch walking down the street. But the one thing that science still hasn't figured out is how to turn a man's voice into that of a feminine voice. Because once she-males born, or male to female transgender, once they start speaking, you can tell that that used to be a guy, because they still can't get those vocal cords right. But they could do it from a female to a man and make them sound like a man, but they can't do that man to female voice. They have not perfected that. They still sound like drag queens, so. But, so yeah. Question is, what is sexuality? So everybody watching the IBHM podcast, I'm going to put a link on the page, and, just to warn you, it is not safe for work. And, the question is, which one of those two would you fuck? The chick with the dick? Or the buck angel with the vagina?
Girl ass. I'm definitely not fucking
I'm not gonna fuck a dude with a vagina. Like, no matter how good a vagina feels, like, it's a fucking dude.
See, and that is the weird thing. See, and that's the weird thing, because, like, to me, between the two of them, and as weird as it may sound, I think it's gayer to fuck the guy with the vagina than it is to fuck the chick with the dick. That looks like if you're in a secret transgender relationship and you're walking down the street holding hands, you hold hands with the buck angel, they're like, oh, he's gay. Well, I'm not gay. He has a vagina. Look at the pussy.
Look at the pussy. Right.
We're not saying this. Who would you go to a party with, or who would you walk down the street?
Yeah, just who would you
fuck? Who would you enter? And I could not. First off, I'll be like, I don't think I can get hard for either one of these motherfuckers.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
Let my dick choose. Put them both in front of me and let my dick choose.
See where your dick grows and see which direction it points in. Yeah, basically. Right.
But look at the tits, man.
Look, I've never, in all my sexual experiences, and I probably have had more than 30. Yes, I keep a list.
I do too.
I
lost count at the three.
Even in my strip club, experiences, which I can count on one hand, I haven't had a lot of those. I've never felt a fake titty.
I mean, neither. So, I've never felt a fake titty.
And I'm not
I've heard a lot about them, and from what I've heard, they don't sound that fun. They look great, but they don't sound like a lot of fun to fucking play with. So, I don't know. I can't fucks with it. So, I don't know, man.
Right. So, at least it's a strike against the chick with a dick. That's what I'm just trying to convey. Like, I'm not even...
Oh, that's a good point. I didn't even look at it like that. That's a good point.
I'm like fake tits on an actual bro. You know, I'd rather itty-bitties than, you know, fucking fakies.
Yo, and with that fucking thing we played on, I think that was episode 14, about the whole virtual sets Facebook thing that the social sets, I forgot the fucking name of it, where you could fuck people online and they had sex toys and shit like that. I'm just saying, within 5 years, we'll have it where you'll be able to pick to fuck the chick with the dick or the guy with the vagina, and then from there, your dick can choose which one you enjoy more.
Look, they were doing. I watched like the Big Bang Theory and Syndication, so I'm like catching up. And there was an episode where they made these lips, like this thing you can make out with, and it responds on the, if you have two of them, you know, you can have your girl and fucking, you know, bar off somewhere.
Yeah.
And she's got one, and then you kiss it, and it responds exactly the way your, what your tongue is doing to that. She, you know, whatever. And so I'm like, well, that's just a, you know, they're scientists and stuff. That's just a con. Like, this thing is out there just as jokes. Like, it's just fodder for, like, yeah, we're close. Like, you know, you're close to something when it becomes, like, so, like, commonplace that they're just, it's like a haha now.
Yeah. That's right.
It's just, it's the same thing, like now people are, like, once, like adults and old people are saying swag, like, on fucking,
yeah,
the morning shows and stuff today, and they're, oh, he's got swagger. So you know it's over. Like, all sign that shit's over. What's new? What kids saying next? Because they sure ain't saying fucking swagger.
Fucking Shawn Michaels with the HP shizzle.
Oh, fuck it. That's a different fucking whole different thing of its own. But yeah, it's like those things. You just know. It's just sure bet. You can, soon as people start using ha-ha jokes, oh, we're close. It's something that's like,
it's almost over. So, actually, speaking of almost over, I guess it is about that motherfucking time, ladies and gentlemen, for, dedication.
Ooh, dedication.
Dedication!
We gotta do it all in unison.
Harmonize with it.
Ready? We gonna drop it in three?
We're gonna drop it, Boyz II Men style.
Let's do it. Drop it in three. One, two.
I do it, peace.
Alright.
But you gotta do the count again. Alright.
Should you do the countdown? Finger wise? No?
Here we go. Three.
From three to one? One to three?
Three, either way.
Whatever.
Three, two, one.
Dedication. Come on, Travis. Damn it, Travis.
No, you
on the face of this motherfucker.
So, motherfucking pass it over to Trav Lord and let him start off this week with his motherfucking dedication for this episode.
Now, I have two. Can I drop both of them?
Do your thing.
You come back to me. All right, you, my first dedication. Yours was last week, Amber Lyon. I was like, oh, what a fantastic, like, we didn't even talk about, how about that? We didn't talk about how fantastically hot Amber fucking Lyon. We talked about all her ayahuasca trips going to Mexico.
Yeah,
we
talked about her, but not
in the, and look how progressive we are.
Yeah.
No, last week you did. I mean, in the last episode, she was your dedication.
No,
Amber Lyon.
Stephanie McMahon. I had brought her up, but I didn't get to use her yet. So technically, she's still wide open. So shit, I got two then.
Oh, I'm not going to go for it. But I'm just saying. No. I'm just saying. But earlier we talked about her, and we didn't even talk about, like, look how progressive and how feminist we are. We didn't even talk about. We talked about all her accomplishments, and never once brought up her fucking ridiculous hotness. You know, I'm proud that, So my dedication on that level is, my first one is Abby Martin, from RT Breaking the
Seal,
and also from, Media Roots. She not only is fucking drop dead gorgeous woman, like, just in an aggressive kind of way. She is a fucking fantastic journalist and TV personality. She don't take no shit. She don't fucking buy into the fucking two-party paradigm. She tell it like it is, and to me, that's such a turn-on. And again, she's just so fucking pretty.
And isn't she a painter, too? Doesn't she paint? She's an artist, if I'm not mistaken.
She's an artist of some... Yeah, she does something. And she, like, if you go to Media Roots, I think she has, like, a MediaRoots.com, I think, along with her podcast with her brother, Robbie. She's got a section of her, like, artwork and things like that, poetry and that kind of shit. Mm. And my second dedication is an albino goddess, Thando Hopa. We're friends on Facebook. I couldn't believe it. I saw her in a like one of those like I think I follow this page called How or oh, How shit. I View Africa or something. His hair or something, and I was like, oh,
Lando my Pope.
Thando, Thando, Hopa, Hopa.
That's crazy. So
and she's like South African.
Yeah, that is crazy.
What the fuck?
And she can get it too, yeah.
Definitely. And she's cool. She like her boyfriend is just seems like just some weirdo.
I've seen her before.
Guy, and she's like a model and shit. Like she do real. You know?
Okay.
And she in that life, but she still seems pretty regular. I mean, it could all be a social media gimmick and everything. I know that, but it works on me. So, Abby Martin and Thando Hopa are my dedication.
Oh, there we
y'all
go.
Y'all can get it. I wish we could do like a Wayne's World salute, like Sha Wayne.
Right?
like that bitch can get it.
My last dedication is what I was on here with. Was Lolo Jones and Lupita Nyong'o, and then after my dedication, she was already on the rise, blowing up and shit. But then she won the fucking Oscar, so
and then blew the fuck up.
Yeah, Thando Hopa, maybe you know it's like the Colbert bump, like maybe you know now she getting the track right. Dedication. I'm black, he's Mexican. She gonna fucking get that you know that Maybelline you know
that Maybelline
money, damn.
You know, for so. You know, you got that albino skin? Try this. You know, a fucking black albino girl who's fucking, or at least to me, she's hot. I know a lot of people would just look at her just because she's albino. Ah, she's weird. It's still got that kinky blonde hair. But
oh my gosh, she doesn't look like normal, but like everyone else fucking looks. She's not European looking.
I wonder how that pussy look. I'm not saying.
Yo, I want to see a fucking albino. I want to see. Look, the very rare albino porn that I've seen, like, this is one chick that...
There's albino porn?
Yeah,
there's porn for everything.
No, it's not, man. I can't find amputee porn. I've seen a few, but it's dudes. I don't want to see some fucking dude with nubs. Trying to fuck this girl, and she giving them a fucking pity fuck, and she just like... Whoa. I try to see, you know, I had this, I think it was Photoshop, this picture in college, of this girl who was catching it. She had, like, one arm and one leg was to the elbow and knee, and I was like,
yeah.
But anyway, the chick, the albino chick, she shaves her pussy. I'm like, no, I want to see a fucking albino.
I need proof.
And I want to see that thing. I want to see what you're working with.
I used to work at this place called traffic.com. You just monitor traffic all over the country and shit. And I worked with this girl. She was all super religious and it was weird. But she was albino and I just wanted to see what her... I said her pussy probably looked like an upside down, a white Christmas tree, like upside down.
Oh, what? Yeah.
I just want to see a bush of albino pubes. That's all. I take a dude. Let me see an albino dude pubes.
I guess. This is what I want to see. The research.
I just want to fucking see it. God damn.
Oh, shit.
Get out my sister's rough ass.
So, shit, fucking, Popo, you want to take a net or you want me to go?
Do you have one or two?
I got two.
Oh, fuck.
He's like, all right, if you say this one, then I'm going to say this one. Last week's episode, like, if you don't fucking just say your goddamn dedication.
All right. And I'm actually, I need to send y'all the links because this woman isn't very pretty. I'm going to admit this. Matter of factly, I'm going to go into the Evernote right now. Insert these things. Yeah. So this is going to be particular links. Now, this girl... I guess I first seen her on the show called The Middle. It's an ABC show.
Heard about it, but I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah. And, recently... Malcolm in the Middle. No, not Malcolm in the Middle.
No, I said it's a fake-ass Malcolm in the Middle. They even got a fake-ass, Dewey.
Yeah, you're right, because he's like, he like whispers shit when he looks down, like, serious. Yeah, they're all little quirks. I think it's funnier. I like the family dynamic. I like how they have spiritual undertones without kind of throwing religion in your face kind of thing. Because they'll make fun of church stuff, but obviously it's a family that goes to it still, you know, sort of stuff. Right. So I like that. Anyways, the daughter, and I guess this might be the pedo bear in me, she's fucking adorable, and you can tell this bitch is growing up, because in a lot of scenes, they have her wearing very oversized shirts to hide those big old titties.
Same thing in Modern Family, the middle daughter. Oh,
yes.
My
yes.
Titties is growing.
She's going to be the baddest.
First off, she's like 17 now. I don't give a fuck. She is fucking slamming. Now she's growing up and out. Woo!
And she battled in the commercially acceptable bad bitch in the show, which is
right.
The more hilarious out of it all.
Right. Yeah,
Anyways, the girl from the middle, is her name's Eden Cher, and I don't know, or I think that's her name. I just think she's really adorable. She, like I said, besides her growing into a very mature young lady, I think she's looking cute. There's a cuteness that I find in the
yeah
in the ditzy. And did you look up there? I think that's her name.
Yeah, I just looked it up. Yeah, Eden Cher. She's like a hotter Mayim Bialik from Blossom and from Big Bang.
Yeah,
Theory.
Yeah. And I feel too like I'd probably have a chance to fucking hopefully if her self esteem was low enough, I probably would catch her on the right day. Maybe who knows. But yeah, so she was my, and I don't know why I always forget when it comes down. That's why I'm like, what can I do? Who should I pick? I was trying to search for something that, of some relevance. Like I said, they have a current show, you know. So it's, I just remember watching it last week. I guess things Wednesdays, I'm guessing. Another one who, as far as her comedy, she hasn't been very upfront as far as just herself wise, but she writes for the show Two Broke Girls. Travis, calm down. Look like he's getting real impatient. Calm down, Travis. Oh. Calm down. the next bitch I want to represent as a dedication is Whitney Cummings. Have you ever seen Whitney Cummings?
Yeah, totally.
Oh, I think I know. Yeah,
she had a show on NBC for a while. Whitney.
Yeah, yes. It lasted nothing.
No, she's always at those roasts and stuff, and that's what she's good at, like busting on people.
Yeah, and honestly, she's just a bad bitch. I don't know how old she is. I would imagine she looks pretty damn old, but she's bad. She's hella smart, and she can get it every which way till Sunday, and even on Sunday.
She's so skinny, and she got those sharp features, you know, kind of like a bird face, you know, sharp nose, sharp chin.
I want to see her give me head. I need that in my life.
Want to see her swoop in on the dick?
I truly want to see her take a dick in the mouth as she spews a joke. She needs it.
Bitch, crack on this.
And she probably was
a comedian, and she's just, you know, she's just damaged.
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure. That's why I want to do just demeaning things to her. And remind her of her father.
Probably bad, because that goes back to my fucking Sarah Silverman fucking dedication, because, yeah, when you're a comedian, you're damaged. You're laughing and joking because you've got some demons in you, and me being Mr. Captain Save-A-Ho that I am, I love me a damaged bitch, and so you can't get more damaged than a female comedian. So Lord. I'm with you. I'm with you.
Did you hear Amy Schumer on Rogan?
I haven't heard the recent one, but I've been fucking with her.
I saw that bitch live once.
Yeah, she's really good, and I'd really like to give it to her. But again, I don't think I could like hang around her in like a long period of time.
Yeah, she would have known the fuck for a while. But you know that's Dolph Ziggler's ex-girlfriend?
Oh yeah. She even talked about
her show, yeah.
She talked about it in the Rogan interview. She didn't mention. Talked about how she was like, they were talking about how having sex and you feel like you're in a car wreck afterwards. She's like, yeah, I've had that kind of sex in Florida or in Orlando or something like that. Yeah. I think she's talking about Ziggler, because that story that he would ragdoll the shit out of her. He was real. He's real physical in the sack, though. So.
Fucking selling everything in the bedroom.
Right? Like Russell. Just not just full speed in it.
No psychological. No fucking psychology.
Yeah.
But yo, the one thing with Amy Schumer that did catch my attention, which did make me want to give it to her, is the fact that she said that she had never been with a black dude.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay.
So you're Rogan was like, you didn't get one of these athletes, these black basketball players. And so she was like, she was like, I don't know.
I don't know about all that.
Well, one thing I love too, she's always, I mean, and I don't know what her sexual preference, she's always talking about fucking Cubans. So, I mean, I don't know if that's just who she's, she just, I don't know. She likes dirty spicks. That's, you know, she doesn't like color. It's so funny to know, and I believe she thinks she must have some sort of hate. She did that or I was being held up creepy because when I got to meet her, I did a little meet and greet after she did a stand up live down here in Phoenix, and I got to take a picture with her. She kind of like, stayed away from me. And I'm like, I just don't grab a bitch's ass in public, I guess. I don't know. I came out too strong. Yeah. No ass. Smart. No ass at all.
No ass at all.
Oh, no? So, she got a nice little ass on her.
She looked like she got some weight on her, but I think the ass is flat, though. She got some hips.
Thighs.
Yeah, she got the thighs and the hips.
Yeah. Hey, you can't get, you know, you can't get it all. You can't get the bubble, too. You know, that's just an extra, man.
You gotta pay extra for that. So, I guess I'll, give out my dedications. And my first dedication is someone who's, not famous. She's a, Tumblr model, if you will. She's up and coming in the game. And, she once again has that hair that I love oh so much. And my first dedication.
Cree Summers?
Yeah, that Cree Summers look. That was my first crush ever. And I've been fucked in the game ever since then. And, so my motherfucking first dedication goes to Stacy Hash. Yes, similar to Stacy Dash, but she goes by Stacy Hash. She's a black chick. She does a whole bunch of...
I'm going to stop typing now.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I said I was going to stop typing now. You didn't get it.
Black chick.
She's not ready to die. But, she's a gorgeous chick. I've been following her on Tumblr. I've been stalking her on Tumblr. I sent her a message on Tumblr a long time ago.
She's way prettier than our cunt, dedication that looks similar to her from before.
No, that previous dedication she made up for, so I'm not mad at her. But, the initial first dedication is to Stacy Hash. I'd like to, shout out up and coming people and hope that they, do something in the motherfucking game. And yeah, she's definitely doing her damn thing and gorgeous. And, once again, that motherfucking hair that drives me insane. And, my second dedication is, shouts out to this chick who I had been in love with since I was a child, and then I completely forgot about this chick until shouts out to motherfucking Childish Gambino, who came out with his clapping for the wrong reasons video, and this chick made a cameo in it, and the chick that I'm talking about is Topanga from Boy Meets World.
Mm-hmm. What's her real name? Stacy something.
Danielle
Fishizzle, yeah.
Fishizzle, whatever. But she did a cover shoot on Maxim. I don't know how old this fucking picture is, but she got the like 1950s look with her leg up in the air holding a vacuum. And I would keep that bitch barefoot and pregnant. That's all I'm saying. She couldn't keep my dick out of her.
Which Maxim was that one?
I have no idea. It's a old, I don't know how old it is, but I know it came across, once again, Tumblr.
Didn't she get fat?
My Tumblr feed.
Yeah, she got fat for a while, and then she got back in shape, and a lot of people give her shit, of course, because she got fat.
I give no fucks. She can get it back then, she can get it now. And I'm trying to
the look. The only reason it's worth watching Boy Meets World. That was it.
Yes.
It definitely wasn't this little savage brother. Damn sure.
I forgot that was the motherfucking Savage Brother with his fucking weak sauce ass, but yeah. Shouts out to motherfucking Topanga.
Yo, and similar subject, I'm not too sure if they redid the show calling the Girl Meets Squirt. Are they the parents on that show?
They did a spin-off show to it. I don't remember what the name of it is, but it might be Girl Meets World or something like that. But yeah, they did. Was that the name of it?
Girl Meets World, and it's based around.
Yeah, they were the parents.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. So, but yeah, once again, shouts out to Topanga. I love you. So I'm just
saying. Yeah, and she's always just like, I think the biggest tits I remember on TV. Like, truly.
Motorboat all day. That's all I'm saying. So, oh, this Maxim was from 2013. So yeah, if you type into Panga,
right, it was already it was her saying I'm not fat no more, basically.
Oh, well, so I, see, but the cover that I see is her on the phone, but she's is that from the inside, not the cover, then, right? An actual picture on the inside of the album.
This picture is from the inside. Yeah.
Okay, I definitely want to see her on the inside. I do.
I want to see her inside too.
All up inside. So. Yes, sir. Shit. So I guess that's just about it. Was there anything else anybody had? I think the show. I think we cracked the. We definitely hit the 3 hour mark. Definitely.
Oh, sure. We coming up on 4 fucking hours.
That's how we do it over at the motherfucking IBHM podcast. This podcast, we pride ourselves in being able to get you through your motherfucking day at work. And so yeah, we keeps it 100 and fucking shit. Yeah. I guess, yeah. So I guess on that motherfucking note, once again, our email is ibhmpodcast@gmail.com. Questions, comments, topics you want to hear us talk about, musicians, producers, chicks that want to be dedications, whatever. Just email us.
They want to get dicked by
us. All you got to do is email us a picture of your tits, and we'll let you know if you're dedication material. I'm just putting that out there. So
local hoes, whores, and bitches that are skip cop scallywags, are you in the Philadelphia area? Are you in Phoenix? Maybe we can send your contact information.
In your pictures. So you can find us on the web on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Tumblr, Podomatic. Just add IBHM Podcast in an appropriate spot. You can find us on Stitcher, iTunes, and Google Plus. Just search I'm Black, He's Mexican. If you don't feel like doing any of that, head to the website, IBHMPodcast.com, and find all of our motherfucking links there. Once again, I'm Black, He's Mexican. If you like this podcast, you must be racist.
A goddamn hick.
So, until motherfucking next time. Whoa!
So you know that.
Winston Finney's group. Look, let me put my mouth where you potty, boo. Ah. Yeah, them niggas piss, need potty train. They movement shit, that's a potty train. She ain't
ain't left yet, but she probably came. We kicked it, then I scored. Soccer game. Yeah. She was a phony goalie. I got great aim, no, don't insult me. I'll give it to you straight, this is what she told me. My name's Solo, cause I'm the one and only. She only got you as a nigga on the side. That's a nigga on the side of a side, bitch. Then we got out of Dodge, like them Dukes of Hazzard. Music and tabs of Lucy. Take your chance with this rapper. Smoke, yeah, we got smoke, yeah, we got shit to do now.